much about... So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Nothing matters but the weekend. From a Tuesday point of view.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What's my name?
What you talking about, Willis? Don't ever say that to me again.
I have never beat a midget, but I was thinking about it earlier today, and it sounds like it'd be fun.
The city isn't what it used to be. It all happened so fast. Everything went to crap. It's like everyone's sense of morals just disappeared. The bad economy made things worse. The jobs started drying up. Then the stores had to shut down. Then a black man was elected president. He was supposed to change things. He didn't.
And now, there are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
Our feature presentation.
That's the way to start a show right there.
Sure, yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's a Tuesday morning.
It is indeed, and we are going to take your calls on any topic for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew coming up at 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number. You give us a call, get on the air, and get a prize. Kevin, I know you're very sad. I know you hate it in the off-season when there's any talk of the B word. I know that's your least favorite. Is from the time the World Series ends to the time spring training begins, you don't ever want to hear the B word.
Oh, yeah, bitch.
Baseball, right?
Oh, right, baseball.
But you see Mark McGwire and his fat face all over the TV yesterday going, oh, steroids? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did those.
I didn't know what. Did he write a book or what's what
no,
changed?
No, he is going to be a pitching coach, right?
A hitting coach. The St. Louis Cardinals. And he decided, I guess, he got together with some people and they discussed it. And he said, you know what? Maybe it's time, if I'm starting this new chapter in my life, maybe it's time to kind of clear out some of the old. This is the guy who famously, you know, lied in front of Congress that he didn't take steroids and is always in every interview has always said, never took steroids. And, you know, he's a guy like Barry Bonds who was a regular sized person and then just blew up to twice his size and went from hitting 40 home runs to 70 home runs in a season. And some were speculating yesterday. Mike, I'd be curious what you think about this. That this is just his attempt at rehabbing his image so that one day he can get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Is that what's going on here?
I would imagine that has something to do with it. I mean, because this is a guy who broke the single-season home run record at one point and was, you know, credited with bringing baseball back to the public interest and is now probably not going to make the Hall of Fame. I mean, I'm sure that's on his mind. That's something that he wanted, you know, to secure his legacy.
And it doesn't help that a guy like him and a guy like Bonds are both just dicks, too. And everybody hates them, and they're mean to everybody. I mean, that doesn't help.
No, that doesn't make it more likely that they'll
doesn't,
make it. No.
But yeah, at doesn't least make steroids make you a better person. They make you nicer and more patient.
Yeah, that
so
happens
good.
Regularly.
Yeah.
Well, I was happy to see him almost cry in the interview that he did with Bob Costas.
I apologize to everybody in Major League Baseball, my family, the Marises, but C-League, today was the hardest day of my life.
You're not allowed to complain about it being a hard day, and you're not allowed to cry, okay? You're the one who did it, not us. You're not a victim here, young man.
It really pisses me off when he says, and I just want to put it behind me. It's like, really? This is it? You've been denying this all these... I just want to put it behind me. F
well,
you.
It was pretty entertaining. So now if we can just get somebody to admit that the Republicans stole the election in Ohio in 2004, now I can go to my grave happy knowing that all the secrets are out there.
Dude, anything that makes baseball more interesting should be allowed. If steroids does it, have at.
Oh, hey, you got that, my friend.
You want to use meth? Get right on it.
By the way, I don't disagree that is a legitimate point of view, that if... you can certainly argue, who cares if they use steroids? It's not my testicles. Go ahead and do it. If you hit a lot of home runs, it makes the game more fun. I don't care. I can understand that.
And if it's okay for everyone, then it gives no one an advantage, really. And
exactly.
And then you can just really tell again who can hit home runs and who can't.
Right.
Except for the fact that there would be people who wouldn't do it because of the health ramifications of it. Is it fair to penalize them for not willing to, you know, sacrifice their body or their health for the sport?
Are we still talking about baseball?
Yes, we are.
Then I don't care.
Then you don't care.
I don't care.
All right. Let's move on, shall we?
Time for your phone calls.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
How about a pair of tickets to the Monster Energy AMA Supercross? That's coming to Angel Stadium, don't you know, on Saturday the 23rd of January. That's what you get. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our man Todd? He is on line 5 today here on the Kevin and Bean Show for What It Do Nephew. Hi, Todd. Thanks for calling. What It Do?
What It Do Nephew?
What's going on?
So the only B word I never want to hear again is The Bachelor, because I watched it for the first and last time last night. So the guy gives this girl a rose. She's like the hottest girl on there. She goes and hooks up with one of the staffers from The Bachelor. Then they break the news to the guy. He starts crying. Like 16 of the other girls start crying. When I thought they were supposed to be happy when girls leave. And like he's acting like he's mad about this. He's like, wait a minute. And he's feeling like I'm the only one who can hook up with multiple people at one time on the show. So she kisses or hooks up with one of these other guys, and people are supposed to be mad about it. Like, I do not understand that show. Never again. Never in life.
That might be the gayest phone call we've ever had.
Yeah. And by the way, the more Todd talked, the more passionate he got, the more details he gave, the more I realized that he is absolutely coming back now. They hooked you on The Bachelor last night.
The homosexual is right.
You are so into that show now.
And
can you believe it? Then they started crying, and then, oh, man, that was crazy.
I can't believe that guy.
I thought the girls were supposed to be happy when people left. I don't know what's going on.
You're also a butt pirate.
By the way, Todd is right. Easily the hottest chick on the show is the one that was fooling around with a producer and had to leave. Not that I watched the show, because I wouldn't watch the show.
What's happening with you people?
I'm just saying she's super hot. That's all. All right. Let's try Benny on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Benny. Thanks for calling.
What did you do? What was that?
Benny and the Jets.
Oh, dear God. Put it in a bigger file than usual. Let's get a giant file. Benny, hi.
What it do, nephews?
What it do?
What it do?
So we're at a Buffalo Wild Wings last week, and we're putting them down, and my buddy orders an appetizer, and he bites into a one inch bolt.
Oh!
And
I'm so confused right now. A bolt in a sandwich,
like a piece of metal. You're talking about?
In a quesadilla, and. And, you know, we called the manager over, and he's all panicking and freaking out because they just opened. It's a new one in West Covina.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
this has something to do with the Buffalo Bills?
I think that's where he was. I think that's the name of the restaurant. It was the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, that's the name of the restaurant.
Kevin thought you were somehow going to work this around to football, but no, it's the restaurant.
No, I just want him to work it around to something.
We were watching football. Well, anyways. We got our whole bill comped, and we just decided, we'll just drink all the beers we can. And
right. You hold on. We're going to get back to you.
He did make that story exciting. You have to give him credit for that.
In 2011, that's what we're going to do.
Thank you for participating in the Kevin and Bean Show. Your call is important to us. Unfortunately, you can't tell a f***ing story. The relentless tedium of your story is making us all sick. We here at the Kevin and Bean Show would rather plunge heavy gauge sewing needles into our eyes than listen to you for one moment longer. But please continue to hold, and one of our semi-competent representatives will be on the line to give you a prize of little to no value. Once again, thank you for calling Kevin and Bean, but please never, never call us again.
All right. You'll like this, Kevin. Jose, our affiliate liaison, he says what the caller should be talking about is this restaurant, Buffalo Bills, puts your picture on the wall if you can eat 12 of their hottest wings in under 4 minutes.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
Done.
How hot could they be?
Well, might be worth checking out. Speaking of football, let's try DJ.
How cool could it be to have your picture on their wall?
He's online.
I don't know. You're on a Jamba Juice wall. Why don't you tell us?
Wow, that sounds good.
He's on line 4. Hi, DJ. We apologize for the last call, but you're going to save it. Go ahead.
What's good, nephews? What's good, baby boo?
What's good
to you?
What is good?
Hey, what do you guys think about the Pro Bowl being the weekend before the Super Bowl? You're not going to get all your All-Stars. And another thing, it's in Florida. It's cold in Florida right now. Not in Hawaii this year.
First of all, I haven't heard of any of what you were talking about. I did not know they were moving the Pro Bowl. I did not hear that it was in Florida. Are you positive about these facts?
Yeah. For those of you that don't follow football or the Pro Bowl, it is the most meaningless All-Star game, and it's always played after the Super Bowl, and it's always played in Hawaii. Well, this year they decided, you know, there's 2 weeks, or even maybe it was last year even, there's 2 weeks between the end of the season and the Super Bowl, so why don't we put it in the same city as the Super Bowl a week before the Super Bowl?
Well, people with in the Pro Bowl players, are not going to be happy.
Yeah, with none of the players that you want to see, right? People who are in the Super Bowl. Right.
Yeah, but I imagine there are plenty of other players that didn't make it to the Super Bowl that are fine. I mean, I can see why they're doing it, because I have never watched a second of the Pro Bowl.
Because it's so meaningless.
It's after the season, after the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was pretty stupid.
In Hawaii, and it just didn't make any sense.
It's a vacation.
It is an exhibition game, like all All-Star games are. But in football, the stakes are so much higher because of injury that the guys really don't try. I mean, it's evident that they
get zero effort. It's a weak sauce game anyway, right? Because nobody wants to. You're not going to hurt somebody in a meaningless game. Exactly.
So anyway.
I mean, I guess you're right. I guess, and thank you for the call, DG. I guess they're just figuring people will be so jonesing for football in that bye week, you know, of the 2 weeks between the Super Bowl and the playoffs, and they'll just watch anything. I guess is what they're imagining.
Well, 2 weeks before the Super Bowl is just death.
It's too long. And it's ridiculous.
People start making up stories about just non-stories. You know, they start talking about the skincare of somebody, and you know, the cleats of somebody else.
Anything.
Dear God, let's talk about something. So I think that's why they're trying to kind of. Mm.
Well, I think DJ is the best we're going to do today. We should cut our losses and move on to today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
I'll do that, but first, let's talk to Jason, because I think Jason has a message for you, message of support. Yes, okay. Jason.
What's going on, guys?
Hi.
Kelly May.
What's good?
Hey, all right. Now, listen, I understand. I don't agree with Bean all the time, but do not take it back, Bean. Do not take the Benny and the Jets back, dude. Do not take that back.
Oh, wow. Really?
I am stunned by your support, but I will accept it. Thank you.
And you are wrong.
I'm stunned by my own support, all right? Yeah. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, you need to take your own life. Thank you.
Yeah, thank God.
Appreciate it.
Nope. That seems a little extreme, really.
Sorry about that.
He didn't even expect to agree with himself, but he did anyway.
He was shocked, Jason. He was on that end of the call.
Very kind of. Well, it's like, you know, you find out you agree with somebody you never agree with. You got to think maybe it's you. Maybe you're wrong.
Yeah, true. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
We have some live music in the studio today from Vampire Weekend.
How about that?
A lot of equipment and a veggie-powered bus in the parking lot.
I didn't see what.
It's a veggie-powered bus.
The equipment that they brought, it does look like they're going to play, you know, the O2 Arena in London or the Rose Bowl or, I mean, they've got some equipment.
Yeah.
Couldn't they come in with a couple of acoustic guitars and be fine?
I don't know. I can't answer that. But they didn't do that. They didn't make that choice.
Okay.
But live music, always love having it on the show. We have the LA Kings captain, Dustin Brown.
There it is.
Who's also on the U.S. Olympic team, which is the Olympics are, what, 3 or 4 weeks away?
Yeah, just around the corner.
I think February 12th, I want to say they start. Psycho Mike saw Mr. Brown last night playing with the Kings. He was at that game last night.
Oh, fantastic. How did it end up?
Not good.
Not as good?
Not as good as we would have liked.
Not as good as the last time we played him? All right. Also on the program today, Petros Papadakis.
How about that?
Used to play for USC. We're going to talk about Pete Carroll.
Okay.
And the end of his coaching career.
Well, I don't know that I'd call it he's getting out of coaching. He's just going from college to the pros.
That's like if you're a basketball coach, you go to the Clippers. You go, I don't know. Are you still in the sport? That's questionable. That's a toss-up. That's a coin flip.
Ouch.
Jim Berry's on the program today talking about the latest electronics from the weekend, this past weekend, the CES, which happens in Las Vegas. And Miss Cleo wants to run a marathon. All right. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Down, always looking down at all I see.
You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5:53.
It is Tuesday. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Will Miss Cleo survive running the first mile of her marathon, much less all 26?
No.
Seriously.
No.
Imagine the damage to her face from those boobs if she starts running.
No. Meanwhile.
We will discuss coming up in about 15 minutes.
Why are we discussing it? She can't do it. No. Boom.
That's what I think, too.
Moving on.
It turns out she doesn't agree with you.
Well, she's wrong.
Oddly enough.
Meanwhile, next topic.
and she wants to do it inexplicably, too. So what's up with that?
Who cares?
We'll try to talk around it coming up.
She should do what we say. That's all.
What do you got? You,
right
got,
now.
You got a hot store burning a hole in your pocket? What do you got over there?
No, I'm just saying. That's right. What she should do.
Right. Here's Ralph with the show.
You guys are giving her choices now? Is that where you're headed?
You can't give a woman a choice, because then they just will make the wrong one.
Slippery slope. Start giving a woman a choice. Know what she does?
Chooses.
Blabs about your affair.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Apparently one of Tiger Woods' dozen or so mistresses, Jamie Jungers, has told the New York Post that she is now running a support group called Mistresses Anonymous.
Oh, my God. What happened?
This is to help women get out of toxic relationships with married men. Apparently, Jamie and one of the other mistresses, Sarah Simmons, Jamie Jungers, they all sound like comic book characters.
Yeah, true.
Where's Peter Parker? They have decided they're trying to get a TV special off the ground with the entire dozen of Tiger's mistresses in a sit-down, hosted conversation where they talk about the downside to being the other woman and what Tiger was like in bed.
Did you say that was a special or a series?
No, it's a TV special they're trying special. To sell.
Yeah. I'd watch that.
Jamie and Sarah, they're trying to put it together.
I'd watch them talking about Tiger.
So sure. We'll have to wait
he
and
did
see.
What to you? He said no to me.
Pay-per-view, baby. Pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Give us a call. Jamie will put it together. My people talk to your people. Speaking of Peter Parker, it's all over for Sam Raimi and Tobey Maguire and the rest of the cast of the Spider-Man films.
What? What happened to Spider-Man 4? I thought they're working on that.
Wrong.
Recently, you said.
Incorrect.
All right.
No, sir. You get nothing.
You got our information from someplace else other than Ralph.
Well, they were working on it, but they just announced today that they have canceled plans for Spider-Man 4.
Because he's too emo?
Apparently, Sony was developing two projects at the same time, two Spider-Man projects. A Spider-Man 4, which would be the farewell in the series that was started by Tobey Maguire and Sam Raimi and company. And then they're going to reboot the franchise and with a brand new cast and a brand new direction give us a brand new Spider-Man series.
You don't have to reboot a franchise that's only 10 years old.
Reboot!
Yeah, that seems good to me.
Reboot!
That seems good to me. Reboot.
That's fine.
They didn't need to reboot it. They just needed to do a better job than they did with Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Not go emo with it. That's all.
But if they reboot, no Fug. No Fug Dunst.
Yeah, hopefully. Right. They'll recast Mary Jane Watson and make her attractive this time around. apparently the studio has decided to just take Spidey in a new direction, leaving behind the Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire cast. They're having trouble with the script. It was becoming a nightmare. They were really bogged down over there, so they are going to eject that version and just focus on the brand new version. No word yet on who will play Spider-Man, but they're going to try to find a teenager to play Spider-Man in high school. And it's going to be a brand new origin story with a brand new director and a brand new script. So we get...
This is weird.
We get new Spidey.
This is weird. They got a franchise that's got has to have made over $1 billion, easy.
Yeah.
That people love.
Right.
The last movie wasn't as good as the first two by a long shot, but it was a huge hit. People would be so excited by a new Spider-Man movie if it were good. I can't believe they'd chuck that all out the window.
I think people will be excited by a new Spider-Man movie regardless of who's behind the camera or in the suit.
Maybe more, depending on this.
Well, look, the Spider-Man series wasn't like the Batman franchise was before they rebooted that one. You know, it wasn't as if they had failure after failure.
Right.
Just had one movie that sort of stumbled. I think they easily could have, with the right script, brought the franchise back to the quality it was before. I just think that Tobey Maguire's getting a little old and a little bitchy. And Raimi was dragging his feet. No one really seemed excited about doing the project. They all seemed to sort of coming back to it begrudgingly. So I think maybe it's time for a new direction.
Look. I just can't wait for them to reboot Avatar. I'm so tired of that old Avatar from last year. Where's my new one for this year?
Look, I mean, look at all the bonds they've had and the different Batman and stuff. There certainly is precedence here. So I think they'll be fine with the new direction. It's just surprising. As you said, they have been talking about Spider-Man 4 for some time. And now, not so much.
I must have been a lot of work went into that, you know, into the next upcoming one. And now they just said, never mind. And hundreds and hundreds, thousands of hours of people working on it.
With scripts and pre-production, that kind of stuff. Yeah. That's the magic of Hollywood, baby. Money to burn.
Do something else. Thank you.
Guess what's happening? They are pulling all the commercials for the Snuggie.
Wow. Did it hurt somebody?
All-Star Marketing Group is temporarily stopping its advertising of the Snuggie.
Well, you know? What about all those people who are going to get trapped inside blankets then? Aren't they going to worry about blood on their hands if someone dies?
You know what the problem is with the Snuggie?
Right.
No.
Too popular. They can't keep up with demand.
Are you kidding?
Apparently, this cold snap across the country has had people flipping out and demanding their Snuggies. The demand has outpaced the supply, and now they need to pull all the commercials off the air in order to start making enough Snuggies to keep up with present orders.
Snuggies is a great product.
Once they make enough, the VP of Marketing, Ann Flynn, said, we will start airing the commercials again, but people want their Snuggies, they want them now, we just don't have them. Don't make me go over and get a slanket. Don't make me do it, Snuggie people.
You would do it, wouldn't you?
Or in Lisa's case, the skank it.
Aww. Yeah.
Because I will do it. Or I'll get a toasty. Don't mess with me, Snuggie. I'll get a toasty.
Have you heard of the toasty now?
Nope.
The toasty's the electric blanket version of the Snuggie. Not only is it a Snuggie, but it's got a little thermostat. It's got wiring throughout it, so you can turn it on and it actually heats it up.
What could go wrong
it's
with that?
It's the toasty. And you don't get trapped by it, either. That's why it's magical.
Can't tell you how many times I've sat under a blanket and thought, if I could just figure out how to get out of this thing, what do I do?
Days. Spent days under it.
Yep.
And lastly, Simon Cowell, it's official, is leaving American Idol after this season. You'll see his face on American television on a brand new show, the American version of The X Factor. For those of you who don't know, The X Factor is like American Idol. It's very popular over in the UK, only it has no age limit. There's no cutoff. American Idol, you have to be under 28 years old to participate.
Right. But it's just singing?
X Factor, yes. X Factor is no age limit, and they let groups in as well, solo acts or groups.
So
it's more of a wide-ranging sort of talent contest. Simon Cowell created this show. So while he makes millions of dollars being the nasty judge over on American Idol, he could make much more since he owns this program if it's a hit here in the United States.
Now, I don't watch Idol. Does this kill off Idol without him? Or no?
I think it makes it less popular.
Yeah.
Makes it less good.
Yeah, this is a serious hit for American Idol. Let's face it, half the fun of that show is Simon.
Yep.
By the way, the premiere's tonight. New Idol tonight.
So got Ryan.
With Ellen DeGeneres.
You know?
As long as they've got Ryan. Ryan and Randy is really why I watch. And also, speaking of premieres, Southland returns to television tonight over on TNT. New network. It used to be on NBC. Now it's on TNT tonight at 10 o'clock. You may want to check it out if you didn't see the first season. I really like this show. So,
if NBC knew then what they know now, they certainly wouldn't let it go. I bet they'll be calling over to TNT going, come on, guys, we blew it. Yeah. Let us have it back. We got time. We can put it on tonight at 10.
Southland, we gave you guys. Kidding. Turns out we've got a free hour on Tuesday nights. Now we'd like to plug that back in. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kirstie Alley is 5,900 pounds.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry, she's 59 years old today. Political commentator Rush Limbaugh also celebrates his 59th birthday. Oliver Platt, talented actor.
Wow.
What? What's wrong with Oliver Platt?
It's all fatty.
Well, a lot of fatty.
It's true. I didn't even think about that. Oliver Platt, most recently, I've been watching him over on Bored to Death.
He's great.
Jason Schwartzman show over on HBO. Very funny on that show. Rob Zombie, fat, 45 years old today. Zach De La Roca of Raging Against the Machine, huge, is 40 years old. Melanie Chisholm, best known as Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls, is 36 years old today.
No Bell.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
She strikes me as really the least successful of all the Spices as well.
She's the best singer, by the way.
Has sort of disappeared from our Spice radar.
She is the best singer?
Face it, Kevin. We all know that.
She is the best singer.
After listening to all Spice solo work. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, let's welcome our friend Miss Cleo to the studio. Hey, Cleo.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Why are you continuing to make so many bad choices, my dear?
Miss Cleo is consistent. Like, you can count on the fact that if there's a good decision and a bad decision, she'll go bad every time.
It's true.
And she comes up with lots of crazy ideas. Psycho Mike's been working with Miss Cleo, over the past few months, and she's really like starting to look great. She looked good at the beginning, but now she's lost a bunch of weight and she's toned up. And she's really starting to get kind of hot. I got to be honest, Miss Cleo's kind of hot now.
Wow.
She's really turning into more than just boobs. She's starting to really look good.
So sweet. She
keeps coming up with crazy ideas about diet and exercise. So she announced yesterday when she came in after apparently pondering it over the weekend, and you know, thoughts rattle around inside her empty head, and she came in and she said, "Guys, what do you think about me running the marathon in less than 2 months?" And universally, our answer was, it's not going to happen.
Not mine. Thumbs
no.
up. Thumbs up.
Come on, Kevin.
Thumbs up.
There's no chance she could run 26 miles at the end of March. It's not possible.
She could walk? Okay, this is how it started.
I don't know.
She
could
walk 26 miles between now and the end of March, yes.
I don't know what kind of training it takes or how long like a typical marathoner or somebody who doesn't regularly run marathons. I don't know how long it takes to
They start 6 months out, don't they, Mike?
Psychobike, you have some answers for us here?
Yeah, Lisa's exactly right. Usually, I mean, a good one, if you really wanted to compete and do well, 18 weeks is typical, 12 to 18 weeks.
Well, I don't see Miss Cleo, you know, take it on the Kenyans. You know what I mean?
No,
I don't think she's
going to
be at the front.
Even for people who... I saw a thing on PBS with people that had never run before and did it. And they started about... And their goal was just to finish and to run the whole way. They didn't care about time. And it took them 6 months.
To run the marathon?
Of training.
Here's what I don't understand. Besides the fact that you are clearly... Let's face it. You're built for running a marathon like I'm built for jockeying a horse. Okay? It's just we're the opposite body part for somebody who should be engaging in that kind of activity. There are lots of things you can do for exercise if that's your goal. But running is going to be a disaster for you, Cleo. Your boobs have to hurt just sitting in an office chair all day.
It is going to be death by jugs. That's going to happen.
Well, she's going to have to strap them down really good.
It's going to have to be a couple of sports
certainly
bras.
Certainly there are
sports bras,
women like her that run.
Duct tape.
Yeah,
I don't know. Pulleys. I don't know that I've ever seen anyone with boobs that big run. Honestly, I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy talk. Mike, you train lots of different people,
Lisa,
with lots of different body sizes.
Yeah, a lot of people are full bosomed. Cleo has circus boobs. I mean, she really does have giant
cartoon boobs.
Yeah.
Adopt running for the rest of their lives, but run a marathon.
I think especially with the technology and sports bras and stuff, like it, she could do it. That wouldn't hinder her.
Yeah.
What's going to hinder her is that Miss Cleo's not a big fan of discomfort and pain.
Well, there's that too.
She's not the.
She is fail. Remember that.
She's not going to. I'm going to push through it.
Right,
because I know I'm fine.
And endurance sports, especially running marathons, that's 90% of it.
Yeah,
because any of us can complete 26 miles. It might take a long time, and it might take a lot of effort. But the bottom line is that halfway through, or whatever point you personally get there, there's going to be a point where it hurts too much, and you don't want to continue. And you just have to have that will, that grit, to continue and go on.
And what's going to happen when she hits that?
Oh God, my feet. Oh, wait, my boots. And they're, there's friction. Ah.
Okay. In my defense.
Yes.
My friend and I were talking about this, and we were going back and forth, and she said, it's Memorial Day weekend. It'll be a great goal, something to look forward to. I think we should do this. And I was hesitant at first because,
was it your friend's idea?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. She came to me and said, let's run the marathon.
Okay.
And I said, okay, like, that's going to take a lot. Like, I've been training with Mike. I understand what it takes to get physically fit. But I figured by Memorial Day weekend, that gives me enough time to maybe get in somewhat of a training position where I could really do this. Then she comes back and says, oh, by the way, it's in 68 days.
It's at the end of March, not the end of May, right?
Yeah, so that's quite different.
I went into it full force thinking I could probably really attempt to do this. And now I don't want to back off on it. I want to really try and do it.
Oh,
I know
Cleo.
It's impossible,
okay, what do you do?
But I'm not going out there to try and, like
but
Kevin said, I'm
you're
not
fail,
go.
You're fail bop, though. You quit everything.
I don't quit anything. I might.
Really?
I might.
How'd those jumping jacks work out for you?
There was that.
Hey, how'd that kickball go?
How'd that kickball go?
I finished kickball.
Let me ask you this, though, Psycho Mike.
Yes.
A lot of people think running is the deal. And by the way, we'll take some calls if you've got some advice for Cleo, or if you have been as foolhardy as she has and decided at spur of the moment, hey, I'm going to run a marathon in 4 days.
I would guess the majority of people are trying it for the first time, wouldn't you think? I mean, it has to be
a lot. I mean, there's thousands of people that do the LA Marathon or the big marathons around the country, and I think a lot of them are not trying to do it competitively. They just want to be able to do it and give it a shot.
If you've got something to add to this conversation, want to weigh in or talk to Clear or whatever, give us a call, please, 1-800-520-1067. But let me ask you this, Mike, about the fitness. Isn't running something that is really, really, really hard on your body? And a lot of people can't get past that first couple of miles or whatever it is because of the, you know, damage, shaken, their shins hurt, everything like that?
Totally. Omar, who's a really good runner and has been running most his whole adult life.
From the authorities.
injured himself preparing for the LA Marathon last year. The consistent impact of all those strides, especially on hard surfaces, is incredibly demanding and can be very damaging to your body.
Hey, Miss Cleo.
Yeah.
That's it. You say you're going to do it, then you start training, you go, oh, I'm injured. Now I can't do it. I'm injured. I'm so bummed.
I was
really going to do it. Really
there's a there's a slight difference in intensity level with Omar and Miss Cleo. I don't know if you guys know that. Might not be a as bit. Believable when Miss Cleo comes
I'm
in.
The
shin splint's not going to pull it off. Pop the hammy. Training's just too intense.
But then the rest of her life, she could say, yeah, I could have run that marathon in 2.5 hours, but unfortunately I got hurt on day one of my training.
Now what's the winning time average? Is it like 3 hours or something?
Yeah, that's flying.
I know.
Really
it's,
going at it.
It's the guys that are professionals.
I thought it was usually like 240 or something like that. Like little speedy right. Kenyan guys, right?
What's average?
Average?
5-6 hours? Four hours?
I guess. I've never run a marathon, but I know that my friends that do that are endurance athletes. If you're getting around 4 hours, that's moving.
4.5 hours.
Yeah, that's where people really get impressed.
Here's
that's
what
like
I love.
Batting 300 is 4 hours.
For this particular marathon, after 8 hours, they're packing up and going home. And
the street lights come
yes,
back on.
And now you have to get over to the side of the street and you have to follow the street lights. Yeah. So you might get a few more breaks than you thought you were going to get because the light's red.
Let's squeeze in a couple calls. Let's go to Mike number one. He's on line number five on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has been where Miss Cleo is. Hey, Mike, welcome. What do you got for her?
Yes. My wife has ran 6 marathons with zero ounces of training, but lots and lots of pain comes with that one.
Yeah.
Why and, does she do that?
She's nuts. She likes them a lot. She's okay, an adrenaline junkie.
Here's the thing about Miss Cleo, though. Pain don't hurt. I mean, she really just is oblivious to pain. She can work through anything. It's not going to be a problem.
Oh, wait.
So when you say no training, you mean literally she didn't run at all leading up to the race? She just showed up on marathon day and ran 26 miles?
Yeah. Run, walk, took about six and a half hours each time.
That's amazing. I'm really surprised by that.
But yeah. Why wouldn't she at least a week out, you know, jog a quarter of a mile? I mean, nothing?
I gave her that. I tell her that every time. I'm like, you're nuts. You're going to be in a lot of pain. I'm going to be the one dealing with your legs hurting and everything.
Did she ever talk you into going with her?
I did one with her.
Yeah.
I got cramped about mile 3 and then about shin splints about mile 22. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, this sounds fun. It's nothing but fun.
Yeah,
it's
honestly, nothing but fun.
Nothing
exactly.
But fun.
That's a great idea. I think you're onto something.
All right, we got some great calls on the line. People with advice in both directions, including, by the way, Trina, please don't hang up. She's got 36 Ds and finished it in less than 5 hours.
I want
to find
it.
Out
any
how
pictures?
That was. I think we need to see some videos. So, Trina, you hang on, and everybody else, we'll get to you coming up. Miss Cleo wants to run a marathon. What says you? We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are trying to knock some sense into Miss Cleo's head. She wants to run a marathon in less than 2 months from now, having really never run before. She started this week, and she thinks somehow that that's feasible or advisable. So we're trying to talk her out of that. But we got
who's trying to talk her out of it? I'm in. I want her to run it. Let's do it.
Her face is going to be black and blue from getting hit with those things. All right, we're getting a lot of support on the line from ladies who have done it. Let's try Joanna real quick. She is on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Joanna, thanks for calling in. What do you got for Miss Cleo? Sounds like you got some experience in this area.
Good morning. Good morning, Miss May.
Good morning.
I'm actually training for my 10th.
And, for your 10th marathon?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you're going to die, Miss Cleo.
What?
You're
going to
die.
No. Wait a minute. You're
don't
doing your 10th.
That.
Why didn't you die?
Joanna, when do you start training for a marathon?
My first one. It took me a complete year.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. That's what I would have carved out for a marathon, to tell you the truth.
A complete year, changed eating habits, sleeping habits, around about 20 miles up until leading to the marathon. Probably every weekend you have to build up to your miles to get
by
to
the
that
way,
point.
Ms. Cleo just looked at me with the yeah, I don't have to do that. Look. All right, so no, death is what you're saying.
You're absolutely right, though, Joanna. This is what people do is they have a plan where they run a certain amount of miles, take a few days off, run a certain amount of miles, take a few days off, and they kind of ramp up to it so that they get anywhere near the stamina necessary to compete on marathon day, right?
Look, I've got exactly. stamina.
And what she's gone going upstairs, she's going to have to tape them down really, really well because there's the new course, because it is a new course,
right.
is mostly downhill.
All right.
So they're going to be bouncing.
Well, they're also going to be, if it's downhill, it's gravity. She doesn't even have to run.
It'll be easy.
So that's to keep up with them.
But Mike will tell you, when you're going downhill, you got to use more of your quadriceps. And it's not just running and training. You've got to train so many different things of your body.
Well, yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
You're
right,
a
very
downer.
Good call.
I'd like to say you're a downer, Joanna.
Thank you for the call. By the way, you thought Joanna was a downer until you talked to Angela, because Angela on line 6 is really going to bring this home for us. Thanks for holding on. What do you got for Ms. Cleo?
I just actually did a mini triathlon back in December. I was talking to Ms. Cleo. I'm a 38F now. I just came down in size. And
Whoa.
About, yeah, 3 weeks before my event, I tripped and fell in work, and I thought I broke a rib. Actually, I got a hematoma inside my boobs, which is a big blood clot. So
Right,
I,
but she's not going to be running down the stairs at your work.
Well, I wasn't running down the stairs either. I tripped in front of a patient. It was even better, but... I ended up, like, not being able to train for the full 2 weeks before the event, and then I had to strap it down with, like, duct tape, 2 sport bras. It was kind of a mess, but yeah. I do recommend starting with a smaller event, and there's a lot of stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. Not next couple weeks, next couple months.
Like, go
bigger,
like
a 5K or something,
5K, 10K,
right?
Right. There's a race on the base in Los Alamitos coming up in April.
Did you guys?
5K, 10K. No, no.
While everybody was having a conversation, Miss Cleo
Said.
Threw in, go yes. big or go home.
That's my motto.
That's her theory.
Angela, I have to ask for clarification on this story, and I'm very sad to hear what happened to you, but are yours natural or enhanced?
No, I'm naturally large.
Yeah.
Naturally 38F. Wow. You want to be our phone screener? You want to answer calls for us?
After Ms. Cleo dies trying this?
I think I'll stick with what I'm doing now.
All right.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Rich. Do we have anyone who says, go for it, Ms. Cleo?
Me?
I think it's a great idea.
Kevin and I.
Come on,
me.
You guys. You're going to put her in the hospital.
Here's somebody. Amira. Hi there.
Hi.
What do you think?
I think, dude, I did my first marathon this weekend, 26.2 miles, 6 hours, 57 minutes, 18 seconds.
Were See? They picking up the cones as you ran by?
6 hours. It was 7 hours. It was fun.
And it wasn't too bad? You weren't too sore? How long did you train?
I trained for 6 months with team and training with Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and it was not too bad.
Wow.
I'm still a little bit sore.
6 months, though. I mean, that sounds a little more realistic than what Cleo's talking about, which is, what, 55 days at this point?
Yeah.
Well, but she's an advanced trainer, you know. You don't have
exactly.
to start 6 months out.
All right, so you think Cleo should go for it, so blood on your hands when she kills herself, right?
She's going to feel like she's going to want to kill herself during the race, but she'll get over it.
Eventually. No, she'll walk off, but that's okay.
If she can get around everyone else on this morning show that's going to be lining the street like paintball guns and trip wires.
I'm going to throw snakes at her when she runs by. Thanks for the call, Amira.
Hey, Bean, just before you move on to our next guest, I would like to suggest that when people do things that are physically taxing,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times it helps a tremendous amount to have a partner.
Yes.
They keep you going. They give you inspiration. They
sure, whatever, I understand, yes.
Encouragement. Whatever. So I think you need to run it with Miss Cleo. I think Bean and Miss Cleo running the marathon, I think you both will come out better for it.
I may be the only person less likely to finish a marathon than Miss Cleo is, so I don't think I'm going to be doing her any good.
All right.
Last week was a big, big week in Las Vegas, as it always is every January. It's the Consumer Electronics Show. We love catching up with our friend Jim Berry, who works for the Consumer Electronics Association, about the new gadgets. Jim, first of all, Happy New Year. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Happy New Year to you folks. And yes, I was at the International Consumer Electronics Show last week in Las Vegas, and it ended just Sunday.
It seemed to me from the reports that I was getting, and of course it was all the buzz on the internet, that there wasn't a must-have as much as there were cool stuff this year, you know, gadgets that were kind of fun rather than essential game changers.
Yeah, well,
One that may be a game changer is a couple things. TV was really a big story in three areas.
They're coming out with televisions?
I know. Television. You can actually see your radio. But, you know, radio, as the old guy said, the pictures are better on
sure.
radio. But at any rate, they have the 3D, and, you know, that's been around for 50
sure.
years. But the newer sets are really cool. You do have the downside. You still have glasses, but they're not those real funky cardboard ones. They're a little more hip glasses. But the interesting announcements were that there's a lot more programs that will be out this year. You know, Hollywood's big on it. Avatar, of course, but
sure.
there were a dozen or more movies last year in 3D.
Right.
And pretty soon you'll be able to have it in your home theater as well as in your neighborhood theater. But ESPN's going to start
yes.
with a channel. They're going to do the World Cup, and then they're going to do some other games. Discovery's going to have three stations. DirecTV is going to have a couple of channels.
That's exciting. The idea of watching sports in 3D,
yeah.
to me, sounds awesome.
The demonstrations that I saw out there were absolutely spectacular. Now, that does have some challenges. It's still going to be the high-end sets. You know, there are some sets that are in stores now that they say are 3D ready.
Right.
You'd need the programs, and they're, the bigger and higher-end sets, and it's a couple hundred dollars more for the 3D capability. But the glasses are a challenge for them. Some people don't like to wear those. You got to take them on, take them off. There's some people who their eyesight is a little different.
How can we make the progress that we've made in society, and electronics especially?
Yeah.
I mean, year to year, things change 100%, and we're still wearing those goddamn 3D glasses.
Yeah, it's pretty lame.
Well, it's the way that, you know, they actually shoot these with two cameras, and they're a little bit out of phase, and then the glasses synchronize those things up.
But there's got to be the next step
yeah.
at some
yeah,
point.
Well, you know, last year there was actually one system being shown. There were some prototypes that didn't require glasses. So I think when we get to that, although the HD DVD folks, the Blu-ray coalition has kind of coalesced around this system that requires these glasses. But as I said, the pictures were spectacular, and the experience is really something. And they had some football games that looked absolutely
yeah.
spectacular in that.
We are talking about new gadgets at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas this past week with our friend Jim Berry. Everybody knows how big the Kindle is, and there are lots of competing e-readers. I understand there was something kind of new that broke out of CES this year. What's this, the Blio or the Blio?
I don't know the Blio. There was the Q from Plastic Logic, which is, think of your, like a legal pad or an 8x10 pad of paper was that thin. That is an e-book reader. There were a whole group of different, the Nook from Barnes & Noble. There's a whole group of e-book readers. There was actually a whole section of it, a tech zone of e-book readers. You know, last year we bought about well over a million, which was twice as many as we bought the previous year of these e-book readers. And, of course, the Kindle is the hot one, but Sony's got their e-book reader. And then, as I said, there were about a half a dozen, including the one you mentioned, that were have been introduced in the last couple of weeks.
It was interesting to see Amazon came out with them. I don't know if they were just talking about Christmas Day or Christmas week or the Christmas season, but they said they actually sold more electronic books than they did paper books over the holiday season.
They may actually have done that because it really took off. And, you know, it's interesting. I find that interesting also that Kindle is somewhat becoming a generic term for these e-book readers, the way iPod has for portable music players, even though it's just their one brand. And a lot of people say, well, I want the Sony Kindle or I want the Aztec.
right.
Or the Barnes & Noble Kindle, you know. So that's proof, again, as Apple proved, that you don't have to be first in one of these markets, but you have to have the programs, the software, and it's got to be easy to
What about the Samsung TV remote with a TV screen on it?
What the hell is that?
Like,
I know. Well, you know, part of the thing on with the TV screen, a lot of people now are multitasking, watching American Idol, for instance, and voting and Facebooking or talking to their friends on different social media.
Right.
What that is pointing out, and that's a remote control that is integrating that into it, but what we saw there, the other big things in TV, in addition to 3D, one of them is this convergence of the internet and television. Another thing that we've been talking about and seeing elements of for years.
For 10 years talking about that, yeah.
Yeah, so, but this way, they have Skype built into TVs now, so you can do your Skype, the personal video conferencing system that most of us use on small screens on laptop or netbook computers can now use that on our big screen TV.
How about that?
that?
You know, one of the neatest things I saw talk about remote controls in an exhibit inside the Toshiba, inside their exhibit, they have a thing. It's not going to be out for a couple of years, but, you know, touch screens are a big deal now on your iPod, on your iTouch, on lots of phones, the new Droids and so forth. But this is, I'd call this a no-touch screen, and actually your hand becomes the remote control. So you program it, and then the woman who was giving the demo, she'd just move her hand from side to side and move the pages when they had web pages up, or get the remote, zoom in on the picture, zoom out, select.
They've been doing that in movies now for about a year.
I know.
Yes, they have.
You see those things like the Minority Report.
Right.
You say, wow, isn't that cool? And then a couple years later, it shows
How
up
about
in the
that?
Stores. But before it gets to the stores, we see it at CES.
That sounds like
really cool.
That sounds like we're living in the future. Would you start talking about that? All right, we're almost out of time, Jim, but I have to ask, what is the practical application beyond the fact that it would impress your friends with this virtually see-through laptop? I saw the demonstration online where a guy is putting his hand behind his laptop and you can see through the screen. What's the point of that?
I know. Well, part of that is, you know, this virtual reality or the ability, the kind of thing that I was talking about, of taking away the type of tactile controls and being able to control things either using voice controls or these hand controls without actually having to touch the device. As I said, touch screens are a huge deal, have become over the last couple of years. These no-touch screens will become even a bigger deal. But being able to control these things intuitively, they say, naturally, all those different buzzwords they use, but not having to sit down at a keyboard.
Let me just run a question by from somebody that's on the phone. We don't have time to talk to. John is on the line. Says, do you know anything about Blu-ray with Netflix?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's out.
Yeah, there's plenty of that. Blu-ray players with Netflix built in. It's another part of this, so you can download movies. Samsung, LG, there's a whole bunch of companies have that, and now they're starting to build that into the sets, too, so you don't have to have a separate box.
Yeah, I have that, actually. It also has YouTube on it. It has Pandora on it, and it's exactly what you're talking about, which is the convergence of TV, internet. It was not a year, it seemed like, in Las Vegas where everybody was jumping over up and down over something that blew them away. But it sounds like, as usual, Jim, they're making a lot of progress on a lot of fronts, and it's getting very exciting in your world, as always.
Yeah, it was a terrific show, actually. There were more people there than last year, and we're looking at this maybe as the beginning of a little rejuvenation of the economy.
Consumer Electronics Association is the group. Check out our friend Jim Barry on his website. It's always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. And once again, Happy New Year to you, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Happy New Year.
Our friend Petros Papagis coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus Jimmy Eat World, Linkin Park, Weezer, and more. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. Hey, Ralph.
Before I get to the Showbiz Beat, I've got tickets to give away to the premiere of Legion.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen the previews for this film or not yet, but starring Paul Bettany as an angel come to Earth to protect an unborn baby that is the future of mankind. And legion of angels attack the planet Earth and try to eliminate people. Angels are going bad.
Did they know that the world is only populated with vampires at this point yet, or have they not gotten that memo?
Different world, man. It's a different universe. I saw about 10 minutes of this movie at Comic-Con last year. It is freaking awesome.
Oh, cool.
Can't wait to see it. If you'd like to go, I've got a 4-pack of passes, so you and three friends get to go to the premiere of Legion. Happens Thursday, January the 21st at the beautiful Arclight Theater in Hollywood, one of my favorite places to see a movie. The movie opens in theaters everywhere on January the 22nd, but you'll see it before anybody else. If you're one of callers, first five callers, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call right now. You get a 4-pack of passes for the premiere of Legion.
Legion.
Well, Betty's all ripped up, too. He worked out for this one. He looks good. He's got big wings. Big, strong wings.
I'm not sure.
Angel.
Sure that's real.
So what's NBC going to do now that Jay Leno has been canceled from their 10 p.m. time slot 5 days a week?
They need find a new way to fail.
They need programming. They need television and to air on their network.
A different hour per night. That's a lot of shows for a network.
5 hours a week.
Man.
And, you know, it's too late for sitcoms traditionally, so they're going to need hour-long dramas, which are expensive and difficult to produce and do well. So what are you going to do? Well, let's go back to the old Law and Order well, shall we? Law and Order Los Angeles. Are you ready?
Oh, it's a new one. Okay.
A new Law and Order. Yeah.
All right.
They're going to develop a new in the Law and Order franchise to plug in at least one of those nights.
This is the only city that Law and Order does not have yet, so that's good.
No, you're thinking CSI. Law and Order is all New York.
Oh, right.
That's So all the cities are the same for the Law and Order series.
Okay.
But they have different divisions of the New York Police Department with Law and Order. But now, they, for the first time, they're going to a new city, and it's going to be Los Angeles.
So that's 1 hour of the five, right?
Right. So we got that.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Southland was set in Los Angeles. That was a cop drama that was already set in Los Angeles. They already had that one.
And was good.
And was good.
Yeah.
And they let it go. Now it's on TNT. I think tomorrow night is its debut. Or maybe it's tonight.
I shouldn't bring this up because I'll just be mocked, but
I don't know.
How about a little show called Friday Night Lights that it seems like NBC isn't getting as much mileage out of it as they could?
That's a good point.
You're right, because they need to replace a show that no one's watching with a show that no one is watching. I think NBC would like to get more viewers for that time slot, not less.
Oh, I see. I get it now.
Ratings, more people, bigger ratings is what they're shooting
for. That's
what
they're going for. Okay.
That's the premise.
Why'd you put Jay there,
then? Television. Well, they thought they were going to get it. No. Surprise, surprise. Oh, good news for Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
Nicole Scherzinger is single again.
Yeah!
Lead singer from the Pussycat Dolls was dating pro racer Lewis Hamilton, but they have called it quits.
What happened?
Even though Nicole called him her soulmate at one point, I guess her soul was only so deep. She ran out of soulmate.
All right.
But here's the thing about the two of them, Kevin.
Yeah.
About their relationship.
Yes.
Even though they're breaking up,
mm-hmm.
they are dedicated.
Mm-hmm.
To remaining
yeah.
close friends.
Yeah. Only celebrities can do that.
They're better than us.
God.
She's been sullied. Dane Cook last year.
What?
Really?
Blabbed his mouth that he had his way with her.
Oh, well, then she's dead to me.
You don't want to follow Dane.
No.
That is not good. And I know it makes Kevin upset, but we still live in a Beatles world.
Man, do we? You need to stop, though, people.
Director Robert Zemeckis, who gave us Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Forrest Gump and the Back to the Future movies and Polar Express and this new Jim Carrey Christmas movie that came out this past year.
Are there any stories left to tell?
Yeah, they're going to remake Yellow Submarine, the Beatles animated movie, Yellow Submarine.
So the answer is no.
They're remaking the Beatles' Yellow Submarine, but the good news is none of the Beatles are going to be in it, so that makes a lot of sense. They've just cast the Fab Four in this movie. John Lennon will be played by Dean Lennox Kelly, who's on the BBC's Robin Hood series.
That's a good series.
Peter Serafinowicz from Shaun of the Dead will play Paul McCartney. Adam Campbell will be Ringo Starr, and Cary Elwes from The Princess Bride will play George Harrison. So they will provide the voices for the Beatles animated in this new movie. And then they're getting a Beatles tribute band to do all the motion capture stuff. So they look like them, so they're going to do the motion capture. And then they'll use the actual Beatles music for the recording.
Can I ask you a question?
Why is that so loud? Is that one of your questions?
Turn the buzzer down just a bit. Why is my question better?
I can't imagine.
Why?
I can't imagine. If you want to go see Yellow Submarine with the Beatles in it, go watch Yellow Submarine.
And you shouldn't, by the way. It's a terrible movie.
Oh, really? You like the Beatles?
Terrible.
It's a bad
movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I mean, it's in that category. Good. If we ever get around to discussing movies, if you're high, it's phenomenal if you're high. But otherwise, it's virtually unwatchable.
Well, that's what it was made for.
That's what it was made for. Exactly.
It was made for you, straight old man on the general store porch, on your Cracker Barrel, playing checkers with your friends down at Glitter Gulch.
It's made for granola bars.
That's right. It's made for granola bars.
They re-released it to theaters a few years ago, and I really talked it up big because my wife had never seen it. And we went, and it was very difficult to not walk out. It was so bad.
It's not for you.
It's not for me.
It's not for you. Today's celebrity birthday is Kirstie Alley. He's 59 years old today, as is Rush Limbaugh. Actor Oliver Platt celebrates his 50th birthday. Rob Zombie's 45. Zach De La Roca from Rage Against the Machine celebrates his 40th birthday. The Sklar brothers, Randy and Jason Sklar. Are you fans of these guys, the Sklar brothers? I'm not a big fan of the Sklar brothers.
I don't know who that is.
They're two comedian, / sports guys who they do a lot of radio and television. Mm. They are twins, and that gets just so far, in my opinion. They are 38 years old today. Melanie Chisholm, Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls, celebrates her 36th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wow, he knows the words and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, nationally syndicated sports host, Petros Papadakis.
on and win for all to see. Fight on for victory. Fight on.
There we go. Fight very well. All right. That's all fine. All right. We're done with that now. All right, P. Victory. Thank you. Thank you, P. We're done. We're actually moved on.
Come on, P. And everybody very, together.
That's
it's
fine.
Up to we're, you. Fight on and win.
Take it easy, dude. Take it easy.
What?
Good to see you. Good to see you, Pete.
Yo,
how are you, man?
I'm a little tired.
Really?
I've
you
been
can't
on
tell.
A lot of interviews in the last couple days. And sure? people are upset and freaked out and confused and running in the streets like napalm. Death is coming because Pete Carroll has left the University of Southern California for the greener pastures of Seattle, Washington. Now, you know, I wish I knew somebody that fled Los Angeles for the North. I wish there was somebody I knew out there that hid from all of us in the Northwest.
Pretty much mass murderers. That's all.
This is a story that has attracted national interest, whether you're a Trojans fan or not, because Pete Carroll is, you know, the class of the game. He is one of the most successful coaches in NCAA history. He's had a phenomenal run and has become quite a celebrity nationwide as a result of helming the Trojans. And now to make the jump one more time to try to make it in the bigs, a lot of people are really watching with interest to see what happens. Why now, do you think, P?
Well, is Seattle technically the bigs?
They are officially an NFL franchise.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll just check.
Yes, they are, but they are tucked up there. I mean, they people do forget about Seattle. There's no question about it. Why did it happen? I mean, you want me to be serious at this point? I'll tell you.
Sure.
He had three criteria always for an NFL franchise.
Has he always been
an
interested?
NFL job? Yes. He's interviewed with the Chargers. Okay. He's interviewed with Miami. He's interviewed with Atlanta. Became very close to taking a job in Atlanta, but didn't take it. Wanted the Chargers. They were not interested in him a few years back, and Miami wasn't interested in him either. He's shopped himself for those jobs over the years, and they meet the criteria. I talked to him last night about it, and this is what he's always wanted. He wanted big money.
Right.
He wanted some level of control with the front office, being that he can pick some of the players, and he wants a coastal team, and that's what Seattle is. Wow. They're all three of those things, and this offer came pretty unexpectedly, I think, because he'd lost some of his NFL value as the team is not as hot as they used to be. They really kind of slid to the middle of the Pac-10. They lost their aura of invincibility this year. And the offer came, and Pete took it and left. And the USC did not counter offer. They said, go ahead and take the job. No, they said, go ahead and take the job. Because I think it's the right time for everybody. I think it's the right time for them to be comfortable that he's leaving. The fans, obviously, are very upset about it. But it's the right time for him. He's comfortable. They're comfortable. Everybody in this situation is pretty much a winner.
Why doesn't SC want to keep him?
I don't think it's that he burned bridges there. I just think he did everything that he possibly could there, and they were no longer going up.
Oh, I see.
He lost his staff, basically, and whether you believe he pushed out his stronger staff people or that they just left for better jobs, I think it's somewhere in the middle. He lost his staff. They didn't have the same kind of fervor out there. And like I said, they lost their aura of invincibility. They became a middle-of-the-pack Pac-10 team. And he couldn't afford to have another year like that because then all his NFL value would have been gone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what about the sanctions? Makes sense. The whole thing makes sense, and it's fine.
What about the sanctions and all that BS? Does that have anything to do with it?
I don't think
so. Does that
help
USC?
No, I don't think it helps USC if he's gone. I don't think it matters. This is something USC's been dealing with for the better part of 5 years now, this Reggie Bush NCAA investigation. The Joe McKnight stuff they talked about with his Land Rover and his baby mama, that's not that big of a deal, I don't think. And there is not really a smoking gun that USC is holding that links them to knowledge that Reggie Bush was dirty. Now, Reggie Bush was dirty. There's no question. His family took a house, for God's sakes. I mean, it's one
just
thing
from
to have
being
a car.
With a Kardashian, he was dirty, right?
Well, that's later in life. But, you know, I mean, she got a great ass.
Yeah,
I mean,
she sure do.
I don't care if that thing looks like a trash bag filled with cottage cheese. I mean, she's that. You know, I'm a dirty person. That looks good to me.
He was with the right one.
Yeah, but that's not it. His family took a house, for God's sakes. But it's really hard for them to link USC with knowledge of what was going on with Reggie Bush's family in San Diego, and that's kind of why this investigation took so long. Plus, USC tried to get out front of the NCAA investigation that linked the basketball and the football program by putting sanctions on their own, basketball program. Which deeply hurts me because I'm the PA guy for USC basketball.
Do you think it's your fault that they made those decisions?
No, certainly not. No, I have nothing to do with any of that. But, you know, I mean, am I going to lose fervor saying, you know, traveling? You know what? I mean, I'm not going to have the same passion when I say palming the basketball, palming.
Petrus, let me bring it back to Mr. Carroll for just a moment. In lay people's terms,
explain
three
to folks
points!
Explain to folks listening how different it is or how difficult it is to go from coaching college to coaching the pros. Not everyone can do both successfully.
I mean, Pete Carroll has been a pro football coach. I mean, he coached
and
the
not
Jets,
a successful one.
He coached the Patriots. Well, marginal success. He's like 33-31 as a pro football head coach. He was a very successful coordinator. He's basically an NFL guy. Pete Carroll did not cut his teeth in the college ranks. He cut him into pro ranks. Now, he understands the NFL, but he was an NFL coach in 1999 was the last time. That's a salary cap and a half ago. The difference is this. In college, you sit there and there's warm and fuzzy feelings. You know, you go, you talk to the family, you tell them, you know, we want your son and we're going to cultivate your son and we want him to be a great person.
And here's a house?
Yeah, well, no, but not supposed to be that way. But, you know, half of that is lip service.
Right.
You know, but it's kind of what they cultivate in college, and we have a tradition and it's tribal and we're the Trojan family. Or the Beaver Nation, or Buckeye Nation, or whatever the hell it is. You know, that's how they sell college football. Pro football, nobody gives an F. You know, I'm here to make money. I put my body on the line. F you, F everybody. I know what I'm doing. I'm a grizzled, old, angry man with hair on his back who wants to rip out your neck and spit your Adam's apple out like it's a jawbreaker. I mean, that's what.
They want to do that?
Yeah, well, they hate each other. But that's pro football.
It's a lot tougher to motivate adults, right?
Well, you're not going to be able to go in there and be like, hey, let's go do it, guys. Win forever. Trojans on three. 1, 2, 3. Trojans on three. You know, it's a little different.
They'll look at him and go,
no. It's a little. And that was kind of the knock on Pete as a pro football coach, that he was a little too much of a rah-rah guy, a little too goofy, and some of the guys just did not relate to that. Now, it depends on what kind of team you have and the structure of your team. If you have a lot of young guys, you know, it might work like that. If you have a lot of grizzled, angry veterans with gray beards like Kurt Warner, you know, it might not work.
Is he going to use this as a stepping stone to the NFL?
No, this is it. He is in the NFL.
What?
Kevin has been having a lot of fun mocking the Seahawks because, let's face it, they're awful the last couple of seasons. I mean, they only won 5 games this year. They're a trouble team. But they're not
afraid. They're ravaged by injury, and the quarterback needs a bacchiotomy. Right. Doctor's going to take his back clean off. Doctor's saying he's a bacchiotomy.
They're not a franchise like the Browns who have been down for decades, though. They're in a tough patch now, but they were just in the Super Bowl a few years ago,
yes,
Kevin.
The NFL is filled with parity, and anybody can be good, and anybody can be bad. The Arizona Cardinals were in the freaking Super Bowl last year in the back
of
the playoffs.
And are going to be again, my friend.
It's possible. I mean, they have a damn good team.
Did you see their defense this past weekend?
My best friend from high school plays on that defense. How funny is that?
Really?
My best friend from high school is out there.
45 points.
I
really?
Said you played great.
All right, we have to take a break. We will
talk
about
what's Miss Cleo's problem, man. What's wrong with you guys? How could you do that to her?
What?
Don't make her run a marathon.
Make her do anything.
I got to deal with Matt Smith's marathon every day. He looks like freaking Skeletor, and he runs 15 miles a day, and he eats nuts and berries. You know, I do 45 minutes on the elliptical, and I feel like I should reward myself with a box of lemon heads that looks like a box of Tide.
And you should.
Yeah. And that's what I do. And all of a sudden, everybody's running marathons. Her legs are going to fall clean off. She didn't even run. How could you guys make her do this? She's going to die out there.
I want P to be my trainer. He's more going my speed than these other guys. That's for sure. All right, we have to take a break.
Stretch your hammies, Bean. Oh, yeah.
We will talk about some of the NFL games this weekend as the playoffs continue.
We'll get a good stretch, Bean, you and I.
Got to talk about Mark McGwire and his shocking revelations yesterday.
Groin.
All of that with our friend Petros Papadakis when we return right after
Hurdler
this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Petros Papadakis is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You're gonna sit in with Vampire Weekend? They're playing live
like
in the next
that
room.
Band. And I saw those. Yeah, I saw those little guys, man. I like that band.
There's
man.
Some room if you
want
to.
No, they don't want me in there.
Right.
They want me to sing. I see a mansard roof above the trees.
That's a good song, right there.
I have one of their albums. And I got the new one too. I got the new one when I showed up here.
Comes out today. Yeah.
Oh, I can play the cowbell? Do they want me?
No, but
I'm like Hugh Masekela on the cowbell, man.
Give me that. You can add the cowbell to anything, so I'm just
That's
saying.
Right. We have it. Anyway, Vampire Weekend coming up in about a half an hour performing
live. That's exciting.
Live.
That's like
we
a
love
cool
those
band.
Guys.
Yeah.
Also, we'll be talking to someone playing hockey for your USA hockey team, Dustin Brown. You also know him and love him from the LA Kings coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, before we switch topics to the NFL this weekend, our friend Petros Papadakis, nationally syndicated sports host and television personality, Petros Papadakis is here. Who will be the new coach of USC? The Oregon State guys out.
There's a contract. The reason I have to go home immediately after this, there's a contract on my desk for me to sign to be the head coach of USC football.
That would be the best thing that has ever happened.
My father's going to be defensive coordinator, and I'm just going to put Matt to school, and he'll be the offensive coordinator.
I like it.
And we'll go to work. Actually, the reports are, my dear friend Scott Wolf of the LA Daily News has the reports that Jack Del Rio actually has a contract right now offering him the job to play or to be at USC. He played at USC as a linebacker back in the day. Del Rio is the head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, which makes it really interesting because he's a USC guy. He would bring in Norm Chow to be the offensive coordinator, who's right now at UCLA. Kennedy Pola, who was a coach there. Ed Ogeron, this staff that was there at USC in the early aughts. He'd be here and really kick ass. However,
is that not considered a step down?
It is and it isn't. I mean, it's his alma mater. And USC is a huge job no matter what.
Yes.
A huge job no matter what.
NFL.
It's not the NFL, no, but it's a huge freaking job.
Yes, but is it a step down?
No, okay. I don't think. From the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are broke and can't fill that stadium, no.
Okay.
But there's $15 million that Del Rio is guaranteed in the next few years in his contract. He's under contract right now.
Right.
Is USC going to pay him or make up that $15 million? That's a big question. I've always thought that Norm Chow is the right choice, not only because he's a big, beautiful Hawaiian Chinese man, but he has got... I mean, calves. You should see. I mean, he's 60 years old or something, and you should see his calves. I mean, they're like papayas, and he wears short shorts. Mike, you cling to his leg and hump him like a freaking Pomeranian.
Does Norm Chow have a comment?
Hey. Stop talking about my legs. You're going to make me embarrassed, okay?
All right.
We need Norm Chow, I'd love for them to hire Norm Chow, and I think they'll hire him in some capacity. But I think he could be the head coach. And if there are NCAA sanctions coming, Norm Chow is a patient enough and wise enough guy, and he's got the calves and the beautiful voice to usher USC through maybe a kind of hard time, if you know what I'm trying to say, Kevin and B. Plus, he'd come on the show and do that. Can you imagine?
Love that.
Hey, you know, some of these guys, they don't know how to act. In fact, I'm going to do the rest of this interview as Norm Chow.
All right, I like it. That would be good.
Okay.
Hey,
gonna ask me a question. You're going to confuse me with all these different questions about football.
Let me butt in just for a second. Let's change the schedule around. Can you stick around for one more?
What?
So we could do the playoffs?
What about my contract?
We're running late.
I got a contract. I was signed to be the SC football coach.
Right. Can you stick around for another break?
Fight on.
Okay. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:41.
The danger of asking Petros Papadakis to stick around for a third segment is you start to learn too much about his private life. Yeah. I'm not really interested.
You guys ask me questions when I'm sitting in here. You know?
What kind of girls you want? I don't think I would need to hear that about you, P. I'm just saying,
Psycho Mike was to pick up a rotund, zoftic woman on the streets and take pictures of her naked when he was with her.
Let's move on.
Then I would appreciate that.
You would like that.
Round two of the NFL playoffs are this weekend. My first question to you is, did Indianapolis blow it by not playing to win the last two games of the regular season? Or are they going to be able to get back into gear and bring the Indianapolis that we fell in love with for most of the season?
The old rest versus rust question?
Right, yep, exactly.
There is no answer. If they play well, it worked. If they don't, it didn't. Their GM is this guy that says it's important to rest. The Super Bowl is more important than an undefeated season. Whether or not the team agrees with that, you know, NFL players have a tendency to kind of want to keep it rolling and keep playing and keep their rhythm going.
You're in a groove and you don't want
to. There is a rhythm element to it, but at the same time, somebody gets injured and you're an idiot. Why did the guy play in that game? You know, somebody blows out their knee or Peyton Manning gets his head that looks like a porta potty knocked off. Then there's an issue. So I don't really blame them. I just don't think they're better than the Chargers. I think the Chargers are the hot team right now. They have that red-faced, hick, angry, screaming quarterback in Phillip Rivers.
All right, give us
I think the Chargers have a good one. Just ask me game by game.
Yeah, we'll get to the Chargers.
Just do the game.
Okay, so Indianapolis, Baltimore.
Baltimore?
Yeah.
You remember in Scarface?
That's Saturday.
Where he goes, where's you from? And she goes, Baltimore. Where? Baltimore. I think Indy wins that game. Baltimore's a flawed team, but they have two good running backs, and old Flacquito, Joe Flacco, is having a down year in his sophomore effort as a pro.
The other Saturday game is Arizona-New Orleans.
Ooh, that's a tough one, man, because Arizona looked damn good. Damn good with that gray beard Christian quarterback of yours. Jesus! Kurt Warner out there doing his thing.
The offense.
Jesus!
The offense looked good.
Yeah, well, the my defense, best friend plays on their defense.
And they,
oh,
were,
they were opportunistic, and Green Bay is a really good offensive team. Look, that was a game where the offenses just started to click. Guys started making catches with their Adam's apple. I mean, it was one of those fantastic, you know, offensive shows. It was one of the greatest games in NFL history in the playoffs. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Can the Cardinals beat New Orleans?
Yes, they can. Okay. New Orleans slumped at the end of the year. They also have a very high-powered offense and a great quarterback. I think you're looking at a similar high-scoring type of game. I would give the nod to New Orleans because it's a Superdome, and that's a hell of a place to play, and it's haunted from Katrina. And I know that for sure because I spent a week there taping Pros versus Joe's Season 3, which I was fired from. But anyway, point is this. I like New Orleans, but I think Kurt Warner's great, and Arizona's got a shot. And Arizona does have the best wide receiving core the country. However,
and the best backup quarterback. Oh, wait.
No. If Bolden's not going to play, then I would really give the nod to New Orleans.
You would. Okay. All right. Sunday's games. You got New York Jets, San Diego.
J-E-T-S.
Sanchito.
Really? That surprises me.
No, God, no. That's not your pick. I'm taking the Chargers, for God's sakes. What's wrong with you people?
All right. Well, we thought when you started chanting,
I just like to say that.
Okay.
I mean, don't you like to say J-E-T-S, Jets? Doesn't it make you feel good about yourself?
I've never said it once, and no.
Oh, because I'm a fan, and I would never do that. I thought the team I root for.
Me?
Yes.
Awesome.
What's yours and me? Hi, I'm Petros. More sports highlights here to come.
Yours is too easy. So San Diego wins that one.
Yes.
And then the other game on Sunday is Dallas, Minnesota.
Ooh, Dallas is hot. And I want to see Brett Favre get his arm broken off. I mean, want to see somebody hit Brett Favre and his head just fly into the stands. Don't you? And then somebody takes his head and puts it on a silver platter like John the Baptist. It's very biblical.
I got to be honest, I've never pictured that, and I sort of like him. I sort of don't care.
I used to have that dream all the time, by the way, that my head flew off while I was playing, and everybody cheered, and, you know, bloodlust. That's why the Roman Empire fell. I'm going to take Dallas. I'm going to take Dallas just because they're so hot right now. But that's a good game. I mean, we got fantastic offensive games, especially the Dallas, Minnesota, and the Phoenix, or whatever, Arizona. That city's not big enough to call it after
the actual city.
It's got to be the whole state. Yeah. Arizona, New Orleans, and the Minnesota Dallas are just wonderful matchups that are going to be a lot of fun to watch.
All right. My last question for you, P, and then we have to clear out and make room for Ralph Showbiz Beat and also for Vampire Weekend performing live here on the Kevin
Beach. I'll just do the Showbiz Beat with him. Ralph loves it.
You can run that by him. My last question, we don't have, we got to cover this in a minute or less, okay? Mark McGwire, to the surprise of no one, finally admitted to steroid use during the latter half of his playing days.
Wow.
Of course, he's been trying to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Now he's in the public eye. I mean, he was going to be around the media because he's a hitting coach for the Cardinals. So he's about to
He doesn't want people to keep asking him everywhere he goes
he
trying to talk
to
about
deal
the Cardinals.
With it. And you know what? I thought it was a brave thing that he did. I mean, obviously the timing and all that. And, you know, it's very embarrassing for him and very embarrassing for a lot of these guys because I got news for you. A lot of dudes are juiced. I mean, a lot of guys in the steroid era were juiced. A lot of guys you'd never even think of were super juiced. Not just the guys that look like Psycho Mike, you know, that can't even move their neck, you know, when they want to look at something like Mark McGwire that just make noises like this. I mean, that's basically the noise that Mark McGwire made every time he hit a ball.
He did put on 140 pounds
of
muscle.
I got other news for you. Barack Obama's a president. The sky is blue. Water's wet. Of course, McGwire was juiced up.
Does it rehabilitate his image, or is he still a dick?
No. There's so many people that are so hateful that vote for the Hall of Fame. It's the hardest thing to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame. They're such ivory towerists. They're such elitists. It'll be a long time before he gets in the Hall of Fame, if he ever gets in the Hall of Fame. But I'm glad that he did this because at least he's being honest. He seemed to be very honest on the Major League Baseball Network with Bob Costas yesterday. And he's going to be with the Cardinals and dealing with the media and traveling with the team. So he had to get out in front of this story, and I applaud him for doing so.
All right.
See, I did. How about that?
It
was very well done. I'm very impressed. Usually you don't take a breath for at least 5 minutes, so well done, my friend.
I'm also a mouth breather, which makes it even more difficult.
Petros and Money can be found on a radio near you all across this great country of ours.
And we're doing Adam Carolla's podcast at the Brea Improv at 10 o'clock tomorrow night.
Awesome.
That's right. Fantastic. That's
cool. Yeah, we drink and we sit up there and we talk about inappropriate things. Because, you know, you can swear on that satellite.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
P, thanks for coming in, man. Good to see you, dude.
Yeah, whatever.
Live music and interview with the band Vampire Weekend coming up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Their new album is available today called Contra, so stick around for that. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
Happy anniversary! Batman!
worst singing I've ever heard.
That's Sam Chalpin.
Who's that?
The legendary Sam Chalpin.
Singing his version of the Batman theme. Happy anniversary. You know, today on this very day, back in 1966, Kevin, it was the first ever episode of TV's Batman. So we're celebrating all day long. It's Batman Day.
Woohoo! Celebrate a lot.
Come on, let's celebrate. You and me, let's go party.
I just don't care at all.
Come on, let's go party.
No. 1966 TV show.
We can do drinking. We can do Batman shots.
I'm in.
All right, now you're in. It is a big day in the comic book movie world as well. Spider-Man 4 is no more. Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire, and the cast have been sacked by Sony. They've decided to go, as they say in the entertainment business, in another direction.
What happened?
Developing a reboot of the Spider-Man franchise, they're going to cast a young actor as Spidey in his high school days, and they're going to reboot the origin, and they're going to bring in a new director and a new screenwriter, and they're having a brand new Spider-Man.
Is this the quickest that a movie series has ever rebooted? Is that, this the Hulk. There's only been three.
Yeah, Hulk was pretty quick.
That's true. That was pretty quick, too, I guess.
But, look, the original Batman was Michael Keaton and Tim Burton. They only did two movies together before they brought in a new actor and a new director.
Right, but then the storyline kept going, didn't it? They didn't start
more
from
or
scratch
less.
Again.
They didn't do
like
another
they do with
origin.
Batman Begins.
Right, they didn't do a new origin story. But they say they want to make him grittier. Spider-Man's going to be grittier.
Nice.
Less emo? That's good.
They certainly had to dump him then.
So we'll wait and see what happens there. Speaking of movies, there's a new illness out there. I don't know if you heard about it. The Avatar Blues. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hardcore Avatar fans are getting depressed.
Why?
Depression, even thoughts of suicide, because they can't live in the world of Pandora. And after they see the movie, they love it so much, they're getting depressed afterwards.
Our planet isn't good enough for them anymore.
I think this is a good case of thin the herd.
Thousands of sci-fi fans are posting statements like the following on websites dedicated to Avatar. Ever since I went to see Avatar, I've been depressed. Watching the wonderful world of Pandora and all the Na'vi made me want to be one of them. I can't stop thinking about all the things that happened in the film. I even contemplate suicide, thinking that if I do, I'll be rebirthed in a world similar to Pandora, and everything else will be the same as it is in Avatar. I'm saying if you're a fan of the movie and you get that urge, go with it.
I agree.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree. You'll end up there in that world.
Mental health officials are saying thousands of people are posting similar comments on message boards on the internet.
Wow.
My whole world seems gray after watching Avatar for the first time yesterday.
Wow.
It's like my whole life, everything I've done, everything I've worked for, is lost. It's meaningless. I don't see any reason to keep going, doing all these things. I live in a dying world, he writes.
And your advice again?
Kill yourself and take a Twilight fan with you, too, if you can. If you can find a Twilight fan.
I don't think the Twilight fans want to go.
But take them anyway. I don't care if they want to go or not.
Okay.
I want to go to there.
NBC, of course, canceling Jay Leno. What are they going to do with that extra time? Well, looks like we're going to get at least one more Law & Order spinoff to fill one of the hours of the week. Law & Order Los Angeles. Being called in the entertainment world right now, Lola. L-O-L-A. Dude, you watched Lola last night? So people are going to be talking.
No one's going to say that.
They're going to be
except for Bean.
It.
No one.
You'll want to check that
except
out
for
soon.
Bean will call it low.
Apparently, they're asking Dick Wolf to whip up another Law & Order. You know, those shows do well. Can't blame them.
Yeah.
I fear they're going to go reality and game shows, is what I think, just because they're still, you know, trying to get by on the cheap.
Those are the cheapest to produce. That's true.
Say NBC is giving lots of fodder for late-night comedy. Not only Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien have talked about the situation, but Letterman, who has the benefit of winning in the ratings race, now also gets to take shots at NBC and Jay Leno in specific. And I thought last night was particularly funny.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, I did not get the Tonight Show.
Again.
That's not all. Listen to this. Today, NBC announced that they are bringing back Johnny Carson. And they're putting him on at 10 p.m.
So,
the problem is my mother is now confused. She called me over the weekend and she said, David? And she wants to know now when she's supposed to watch Jay. I said, Mom! Right. And I'm a little worried about Conan. I'm not worried about Jay. He'll, you know, he'll land on his chin. He always does.
See,
because
it's so big.
That's funny.
Yeah. Big chunk of the monologue last night was dedicated to NBC.
By the way, what's Paul Schaefer doing these days? Just screaming out at every line.
It's his job, man.
That's what he does.
What else he's a heist man for Letterman.
I do.
That's right. Second Mike's job.
The thing about him, though, is that he is really a great musician, right? That's the
Yes.
Hey, great family. But talking on the show, he's
he's great. Come on. He's great.
I love Paul. I love Paul.
He's such a weirdo. He's such an oddball character. He's awesome.
Yeah, he is weird.
I don't even know why I'm saying this to Kevin, because he hates anything older than 10 years, but Paul just wrote a book, and there's some unbelievable stories about his early days in music and some stuff you didn't know about him.
Have the book. Bitch.
No way.
There you go.
He's
never going to read it.
I have not.
He's never going to read it, but he has it.
I have not cracked it, but I do have it.
He owns it.
Why? Why do you have it? You don't care about any of that.
I think he's probably got some pretty good stories.
But from things more than 10 years ago.
Yeah, he writes a lot about like old musicians he worked with and stuff like that.
I'm not saying I won't thumb through it quickly.
Okay.
Because as soon as he tells this James Brown story, you're going to be dead, don't care.
You know, famously, he was the band leader for Saturday Night Live back in the early days when Saturday Night Live was a big deal. And the Blues Brothers with Belushi and Aykroyd. I mean, that's sort of how he came to fame. I don't have any interest in any of that.
I'll get rid of it then.
All right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Kirstie Alley's 59 years old today. Rush Limbaugh's 59 years old today. Oliver Platt is 50 today.
Wow. It's a fat day.
Zach De La Roca of Rage Against the Machine is 40. And Rob Zombie celebrates his 45th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Very happy to welcome Vampire Weekend into the studio. Guys that we haven't seen in, I swear, it's been almost a month since the last time we saw you guys. Wow, what have you been up to? This is crazy to see you after all this time.
How much you guys worked during the holidays?
We took a little break.
A little break.
Yeah.
For me, a little break would be 6 months.
I mean, you know, like, no, for
it'd be as long as possible.
It's 2 weeks. It's our traditional 2 week holiday break.
Right. Do you start getting antsy near the end of it? It seems like bands in particular have schedules that are, you know, planned 2 years in advance, and there's always something that you should be doing. And do you start going kind of stir crazy or no?
Wait, well, a little bit, because this time we had like the album coming out.
Right.
So we kind of knew we had to jump back into it pretty soon.
Yeah. And you have to be excited, though. I mean, your fans, this is no surprise to you. Your fans have had this music for a long time. But it must be nice for you to have everybody else have access to it and be able to go out there and play songs that people have heard and people know that, you know, you guys have lived with kind of privately for a while.
Definitely.
Or not.
I'm going to suggest that's not enough of an answer for that question. It was a long question. It was involved, and we want more than definitely.
Yeah. Well, we started making this album in January of last year, and we were about done by the fall, even before that, really. But we kind of held back because we wanted to do all kinds of things to make it really exciting once the album finally came out.
And what kind of things did you come up with?
Well, we spent 2 weeks in California playing in these smaller cities. And we kind of documented that. We started making a documentary about it.
And when you say started, that means you're not going to finish it?
they lost it.
That's usually what we do.
There's film exists, but that's about it at this point.
Okay.
We lost it. Do
you need to get it or what? You lost it? Are you kidding?
No. We'll do something with it. No. It was pretty amazing just to do this all California tour. And it's the kind of stuff we normally don't really have time to do once the album actually comes out. So, yeah, we're playing smaller shows, releasing music little by little, which is something that you don't always have the option to do.
Yeah, true.
Like your album is 4 months in advance.
That's true.
So that's always fun.
Yeah. I was so surprised to see you playing a venue as small as the Henry Fonda Theater, which is sold out tonight, because clearly you guys are bigger than that. I mean, is that part of the game plan, is to leave them wanting more? You want people waiting outside the door?
Pounding
on it to get in?
Yeah. I mean, we're definitely going to come back and do some bigger shows in L.A. later in the year. But, you know, this is the album release show. It's the day the album comes out. So, you know, we don't even know how to play all the songs yet.
Excellent.
You want to make it special?
I think you guys started out a little smaller. Yeah,
you have a long day ahead of you then, learning the songs.
Yeah.
So that's great for Vampire Weekend fans. That's good news, because if you don't get in tonight, the show's not going to be very good anyway. So you're actually, it sounds like you're making the right choice.
I'm not sure that's what he was saying, but okay.
No way,
no,
bro.
That's what I'm saying.
That is what you're saying.
No, no, we'll find out. We'll find out.
All right. I have to ask, and I apologize if I'm the millionth person to ask you this, but who's Kristen? Who's the hot chick on the album cover?
Oh, we should have invited her to the show today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Could you have?
She lives in Southern California. We know.
Can you leave
much.
And go get her and come back? Because, wow.
Is it like a 25-year-old picture or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was taken in 1983.
83. So she's
really
old and ugly by now, so that's, we're good.
Well, let's not assume she's old and ugly. Yeah.
You got to wonder if she drives by Amoeba and sees her.
Right, her face.
Her face, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tell me the story. I mean, obviously, an album cover is a decision that some bands hate and some bands love it, and, you know, you can only pick one. So how did you end up making this your album cover, a 25-year-old picture of a girl who's not in the band?
Well, I think this album's kind of connected to, like, New York in the 80s. And one thing I was doing was searching for pictures of New York in the 80s, and I searched New York City 1983, and... that's how I found the picture.
And what was
that's
it about that
interesting
that picture that stood out above every other picture in New York 1983?
Okay, well, our first record was a Polaroid, and this was a Polaroid too, so it immediately stood out, and it made sense that it could work. And so I mocked it up and sent it out that night, and I think all of us kind of felt like it made sense.
And then how did you go about finding her? I assume you had to get her permission to put it on the record, right?
Yes, and we did that.
How'd you find her?
They haven't. They haven't.
No, we have.
I can tell from body language they haven't.
No, we have. We have. But maybe we don't want to tell that story today.
Okay.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
Good enough.
Let's talk about the music for a second. We have Vampire Weekend in the studio. They're going to be performing live for us here in a couple of minutes. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Many bands have talked about, you've got your whole life to make your first record. Then all of a sudden everybody wants another one just as good or better in a year. That's a lot of pressure for some bands. For whatever reason, it doesn't seem to me like it seemed that hard for you guys, was it?
No, it wasn't that hard. And I think, or let's say it was just as hard as making the first record. Cause, you know,
but not worse.
No, not worse. I mean, you know, the reality of it, maybe we had like 2 years to make our first album and 1 year to make this album. It's not a huge difference. And also, we've always done everything ourselves. Like, Ross Thames produced both the albums, so everything is within the band. So, I don't know, when you start out working like that, even when nobody knows you, you're kind of just used to putting pressure on yourself. So you never really worry about other people.
But is it different once you put out a CD and you have fans and they all know it, and then there's when the expectations start coming in, and then you go, does that make it more complex, or do you just ignore them entirely?
Well, we try to look at it as a positive thing, that somebody actually cares that you're making a new record. Because the first time, we made the whole record before anybody cared about us.
Right.
Or outside of maybe like four or five dudes.
Your parents?
Yeah.
Friends?
Maybe not even our
not
parents.
Not even your parents. Okay.
So I think it's definitely a good thing that you know you're working really hard on something and there's an audience waiting for it. I mean, obviously you get a little nervous, what will people think about it, but mostly it's great.
Yeah, I don't this is a delicate topic, and I'm hoping that I can bring it up in a way that doesn't seem like it's offensive, because
you've
believe me, it's not meant
before.
To be. I don't understand the blowback on bands like yours, and there are a few bands like this who, for some reason, I don't know if it's critics or fans or whatever, they think, oh, these guys, they made it too easy, it wasn't hard, they didn't pay their dues, they didn't work long enough. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever heard any of that people have said that it was too easy for you guys or too much overnight success?
Well, yeah, I mean, people always like to talk about hype these days, and that hype is, you know, like that, oh, some band is all hype. And I mean, certainly there's a period before you put a record out where you do get a lot of people talking about you.
Right.
And you maybe didn't prove it yet, but I kind of feel like once you put a record out, once you actually have people come into your shows, once you actually have people, like, into your music, then it's not really a discussion anymore. Like, we could just, like, play some garbage right now and talk about how great it is, and if it sucks, like, you're not going to, like, see kids, like, running around to go buy it.
Right.
You know, like, so, I don't know. I feel like at this point, we've been doing this for a little while. I think, hopefully, we've moved out of that stage where people can, like, keep questioning.
But people that must be saying that, though, Bean, are people who must have been playing for 20 years and still haven't made any inroads.
Or they think that the guys in this band don't have the, you know, whatever their image is of the proper background for a rock star. You know what I mean? I mean, for whatever reason, people just get these weird things. And you make such a good point, because it ought to just be about the music. If you like the music, that's what matters. It doesn't matter who the guys are, where they're coming from, or what their background is. The proof is in the grooves, is what I think. I don't I don't agree with some of the people who write some of the things they do, but I just wondered if it bugs you or if you know where they're coming from.
Did you
but
just say the proof is in the grooves?
I think you dated himself. I think that's an LP reference, like a vinyl reference.
The proof is in the grooves.
That's almost what we called this record, too, yeah. By the way.
What just happened? He speaks a language I don't understand.
The proof is in the grooves.
And the groove is in the beat is what I hear. Yeah. Look, I'm a big fan of you. I'm a big fan of you guys. That's right. And I loved your show at the Acoustic Christmas concert last month. I thought it was so much fun, and people are in for a treat when they go see you in concert. And I think we're in for a treat, although it's a ridiculous time of day to ask guys to play live. We understand you're willing to do it after a quick break. Is that right?
We're going to try.
We're going to find out.
This may be the earliest we've ever played in our lives.
We're going to find out if the proof is indeed in the grooves when we come back. We come back on the Cabin Beach. Got Vampire Weekend in the studio. You guys ready to play a little live music?
Oh, yeah.
Let's have it. Live music on the world famous K-Rock. Come from
That sounded great, by the way. A lot of really interesting instruments in the band. But Kevin, I thought you were going to jump in on the cowbell. What happened, dude?
Well, I mean, I brought it up and they didn't seem overly enthusiastic about it. So.
The band Vampire Weekend is here at the Kevin and Bean Show. The new album is available finally today, called Contra. You can get it in stores or online. By the way, here's a deal for you. MP3 album on Amazon.com today for just $3.99 if you want to get Contra from Vampire Weekend, which is a fantastic deal. Guys, we'd love it if you have time. We'd love to hear anything else you want to play.
Another song?
Okay.
Fantastic. Vampire Weekend on the Kevin and Bean Show. Come on. That sounds great.
Unbelievable. Really great. What the hell? Buy them both. Buy both Vampire Weekend albums. That's what I'm here to tell you today. The new one is called Contra. Yes, Kevin.
The new one is called Contra.
Great to see you guys again. We very much appreciate your time today, and come back soon, all right? Thank you.
Hearts and thoughts, they fade. Hearts and thoughts, they fade.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 8:41.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. He just kind of loses interest, as Eddie so often does in so many of his songs. He's singing, everybody's having a good time, everybody's fine, everybody's into it, and then all of a sudden Eddie just kind of drifts off into sleep, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. He falls asleep.
Although the opposite of Vampire Weekend.
Although really. The words were fade away, so maybe he was just well, given an interpretation.
Maybe there's a deeper meaning, and I just missed it because I'm retarded. All right, it is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you so much for tuning in today. You know what's funny? Kevin, this is interesting. I didn't think I was going to be excited about the Winter Olympics. I thought, you know what? I'm really more of a Summer Olympics guy. I know the Winter Olympics are coming, and they'll be on soon. I'm not that. But now that I'm starting to see the commercials, now that I'm starting to see the stuff that NBC's putting up there with Apollo Ono and everybody, I'm starting to think, man, these guys are good. Wow, can they do lots of cool things. So I think I'm on board.
Fantastic. And one of the guys playing in the USA hockey team is Dustin Brown.
Grit, heart, and leadership. These are the words that describe Los Angeles Kings captain Dustin Brown.
And Brown, and he scores! What can Brown do for you?
24 goals, 29 assists.
Dustin Brown in front, three, two!
And 285 bone-jarring hits last season.
Dustin Brown, you got to keep your head up, and he's on the ice. He's a big hitter.
And a hard check by Dustin Brown as the crowd roaring.
I watched Gretzky and Forsberg were obviously inspirational to me.
He takes a hit that knocks the glass out. Dustin Brown.
He was driven into the boards by Dustin Brown.
Brown over to Keller. And he scores!
USA!
Dustin Brown, also, of course, the capital of the Los Angeles Kings, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. How are you, Dustin? Thanks for coming on.
Pretty good. Thanks for having me.
How much is it tough to compartmentalize and not spend too much time right now when you're in the middle of an NHL season thinking about the Olympics? Because surely you have to be excited about next month, too.
The first half of the season, it wasn't too difficult because the team wasn't announced yet, and you never knew if you were going to go or not. I think obviously it gets a little more difficult the closer it gets. So
sure. Now, they announced it on New Year's Day. They had an outside game, which they've been doing with the NHL for a while. Pittsburgh played Boston. And then after that game, they announced the Olympic team. Did you know before that?
I knew a few days before that, yeah.
And they had a bunch of little kids in jerseys, and then they would, you know, turn around and it would show. And I'm pretty sure there was a little black kid that was Dustin Brown.
Yeah, I think there was.
Have you ever gotten to play outdoor hockey in the United States, Dustin?
Not in a game like they had on TV the other day. I grew up playing on a pond, so.
Right.
But from a standpoint of actually playing in a real game outdoors, with the exception of my youth hockey, we played an outdoor rink. But
I love that they've been doing this the last few years, though, to kind of bring attention to hockey. And, man, it's so much – like that Fenway Park game was just so much fun to watch just because you never see anything like that. And the players seem to just be having a blast, too.
Yeah, I think it's – I mean, it's a really good marketing thing for the NHL. It's like a little – almost like the Thanksgiving football, what they got on Thanksgiving.
Right.
It's just something every year that you can count on. And obviously, now that I think they've – done it a few years, they understand how to make the ice and make it so it's, you know, the game's actually NHL game. I remember the first year it was snowing, a blizzard, which was kind of cool.
That was awesome.
but for the players, it's tough to play in those conditions. I think they got that. They own the ice now, the ice system, so
yeah,
it's definitely much easier for the NHL to put it on.
Now, nobody sucks on the U.S. Olympic team, let's face it. You're going to be playing with great, great players. But have you spent much time or know much about the, you know, the competition? I mean, who are you afraid of? Who are you looking forward to? Is it Canada? Is it Finland? Who should we be excited about seeing this year?
I mean, obviously Canada is probably the powerhouse in hockey, you know, from the hockey world, I guess, opinion. And then you have the Russians and the Swedes are probably the three teams I would think of. As a fan.
Now, you're a big hitter, and you're going to play Canada probably, and Drew Doughty, of course, is going to be on their team.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it. We actually roomed together on the road, so we talk about it quite a bit.
Listen, I'm going to come up and I'm going to make it look like I hit you hard, and you take a dive, and then everybody will be happy. But I don't want to hurt you because we've got some more season to go.
Yeah, no, it's a friendly rivalry, obviously, between us. That's the only sticky area, I think, with the Olympics is when you're playing against a guy on your club team. So,
how many of your teammates are you playing against? Because I know Michael Hanzus you're playing against as well.
Yep, Hanzus and Dowdy are the only two I'd be playing against, okay. And I'm playing with Jonathan Quick and Jack Johnson.
Jackson, that's my short for Jack Johnson. Kings are doing well this year. How does it feel inside the locker room?
For me, it's obviously a long time coming. We've been struggling lately, but ever since I've kind of was drafted by the Kings in 03 and played in 04, we haven't really had a successful team. So for me, it's really exciting. Obviously, we're struggling right now. We just got to keep it going. There's about 40 games left or a little less than that, and right now we're sitting in eighth spot. So
how does it happen where you play a team like the Sharks and you beat them 6-2, and then you play them again a week later, and it's a completely different game?
That's one of the good things that I think about the NHL is that's why we play the game. Is like on any given night, any team can beat any other team.
But how can it swing that far? You know, you'd think if the teams were evenly matched, it would be 3-2 one team or 3-2 the other team. But
I think we're 3-1-1 against them this year, and every game has been a one goal game except for that one game that we last week where we. Got the better of them, and it's one of those games. Sometimes you have those games when the puck just goes in the net for you. Everything is working, and that was definitely one of those games for us. And obviously, pretty unfortunate for them. But
oh well.
Oh well, right. That's the voice of Dustin Brown you're hearing on the Kevin and Bean Show today. He, of course, the captain of the Los Angeles Kings playing against the Ducks, which is a game I know you always get up for, and that is going to be Thursday night at Staples Center, and you can see it on FSW. And then, forgive my memory here, but the league breaks during the Olympics, right? The team doesn't go on without the guys who are playing up in Canada, right?
Yeah, it's a 10-day mandatory break, actually, so...
I'll bet the guys that ride the bench wish they would play. All the good players are gone playing in the Olympics, and they get a shot at it. But yeah. How does it work timing-wise? Because the Olympics start February 12th, so when do you start practicing with the team? Are you already working out with them?
No, what happens more or less is we have, I have a game on the 13th with the Kings, and then 7 o'clock. In the morning on the 14th, I fly to Vancouver. And
wait, on February 13th?
Yep.
So the Olympics are already going to be started. You have one more game.
Yep.
Okay.
And then on the 14th, I fly to Vancouver at like 7 in the morning. I think a few other guys get there later that day. Some guys play on the 14th, actually.
But there's no, there's
wow.
No. But wait a minute. There's no working out together or team building or practice or.
I mean, we had a summer camp with about 35 guys, and that was it really. I think we're just going to show up. I think we have actually one practice, one team practice on the 15th, and we play on the 16th.
I saw the movie Miracle recently about the 1980 hockey.
That's great, 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 great movie.
And I'm here to tell you, Dustin, that your level of work is not going to work. It's not going to.
We need a little bit more commitment out of you.
I saw that movie, and they had like 6 months. They were. I'll fly in the day of the game.
Yeah, I can't think of very many sports where you get picked up at the airport and taken immediately to compete in an Olympic event. It just doesn't seem like a very good plan. That's all.
No, I mean, I guess the one thing, every team is pretty much in the same boat.
Right.
Right.
The majority of the players, are playing in the NHL.
Yeah, they got day jobs, of course.
The World Championships, which is a tournament that happens around April.
Right.
I've played in that a few times, and that's a little different. You'll have... some of the teams will be practicing together for a month, and Team USA gets thrown together, Team Canada gets thrown together based on who's out of the playoffs at that time.
Right.
Gotcha. So. Well, listen, do us a favor and crush those Canadians because we're sick of them rubbing hockey in our face. It's about time for the USA to win it, all right?
Yep.
All right. And, of course, the Kings versus Ducks, again, is going to be this Thursday night. Great to have Dustin Brown on the show today. We really appreciate it. Best of luck to you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks.
it's time for foodies to flock south for San Diego's Restaurant Week, which kicks off January 17th. 6 days, over 200 restaurants, three courses for $20, $30, or $40. Details and great hotel deals are at sandiego.org. San Diego, happy happens. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Get out there, foodies.
Get out there, you foodies.
Eat.
Because happy happens.
Get out there and celebrate. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:55.
Ralph Garman is here. He's going to tell us things we don't know that are happening in the world of Hollywood. Hey, Ralph.
Don't go to see Avatar.
Don't go see Avatar.
No. Well, it's too late now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still fine. You guys are screwed.
I went already.
Well, you're damaged now.
What happened?
You've got a mental illness. Well, another one in your case, Kevin, besides the Alzheimer's.
What are you talking
about? Now you've got the Avatar blues. Congratulations.
I don't have it.
Good luck dealing with that. Get your medication ready.
What is that?
Well, let's ask CNN.
How widespread is this phenomenon where people are feeling depressed?
There were over 1,000 posts on how to deal with post-Avatar depression on one of the Avatar fan forums. And that's just one of many fan forums where people have gotten together to talk about how they felt very depressed. They felt like the world was gray and flat after waking up after seeing Avatar.
The Avatar blues, my friends, a mental health phenomenon.
That makes me think the world is flat?
Where Avatar fans are experiencing depression and, yes, wait for it, suicidal thoughts after seeing the film because they long to enjoy the beauty of the alien world of Pandora.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
So the world that Jim Cameron has created in Avatar is so beautiful and so enticing that you'll step out of the theater and be sad that you only have to live on Earth.
Yes, yeah, science fiction fans, rather than living in their basements of their parents' house with seven cats, there's no chance of ever losing their virginity, would rather live as a 7-foot-tall blue alien on the world of Pandora. Can you blame them?
Look, I can understand going to see Leap Year and walking out being depressed because you've given up 90 minutes of your life. But Avatar, by all accounts, people are enjoying. They go to the film, they love it. And
too much.
They shouldn't walk out and be sad.
Too much.
No, that's not the point. Their real life isn't that good, B.
They love it too much. Okay. Ever since I went to see Avatar, I've been depressed, writes Mike, who goes by the name Navi Blue.
Wow.
Watching the wonderful world of Pandora and all the Navi made me want to be one of them. I can't stop thinking about all the things that happened in the film, all the tears and shivers I got from it. I even contemplate suicide, thinking that if I do, I will be rebirthed in a world similar to Pandora, and everything is the same as in Avatar. You go
That's
ahead,
real Mike. Talk right there, man.
Put your parents out of their misery, Mike, and just take care of business.
That guy is not going to do anything for society. Go ahead.
Who else is sad? Apparently Spider-Man fans. Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi, and the rest of the company will not be returning to do Spider-Man 4. Sony has decided to move on with the franchise and do a reboot. In 2012, we're going to get a brand new Spider-Man with a brand new cast and a brand new director and a brand new script. Teenage Spider-Man. Going back to high school, where Spider-Man first got started, as opposed to the 35-year-old emo Spider-Man we got stuck with in Spider-Man 3. So maybe it's a good idea.
Now, will Kirsten Dunst play the grandmother or anything like that? Are they going to work a role in for her?
I hope not.
Me too.
Maybe she can play the orthodontist that Spider-Man goes to and says, wait a minute, your teeth are horrible. Why am I going to you? Congratulations to Megan Fox. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but she is the new model for Emporio Armani underwear.
All right.
I don't know if you've seen the new photo, the latest photo. This ad will be featured in magazines and billboards and whatnot in the next coming year.
Might we have to put that up at kevinab.com?
We might have to.
So people can see that, because I want to buy everything.
She is
putting her
in a little bra and panty set in this particular ad.
I do have a 22-inch waist.
She does. She's taking over for Victoria Beckham and her husband, David. Apparently, it is now Megan Fox and Cristiano Ronaldo who will be the models for Armani underwear. And you can't say you blames them.
Nope.
Megan Fox!
What happens when reality shows mate? Nothing good, my friends. Apparently, Big Brother and The Bachelor had a baby. ABC has announced Bachelor Pad.
Bachelor Pad.
Yeah. The premise is you take all of the losers from The Bachelor and you make them live in a house together like Big Brother. And then whoever survives at the end wins something.
What happened?
They kick him off an island? Or
no, there's no island.
I don't understand.
They're doing a Big Brother style live-together competition.
And they have to lose weight?
But it's all the people from The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Okay, these are the losers, though.
Yes, Kevin.
And then we're going to give them another show?
Of course.
They always do that.
No, they lost.
Because America loves them.
Yep.
Can't
their
get
new
enough
career.
Of them. Huh. Well, that's what they always do with The Bachelor and Bachelorette. They always pick a loser from the previous season to be the star of the following season.
Oh, I didn't know. I knew they did
they're
that
all
once.
They're all interconnected. Oh. That's how it works. And now they're getting more bang for their buck by getting all of the loser contestants in one house so we can all watch how they interact.
Or not.
It is shocking that that Big Brother that's on every summer continues to be a huge rating smash.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who watches it.
I don't either, but it's summer programming, so don't have to be as fascinating as real programming, but still.
Yeah.
Does do very well. And Frida Pinto from Slumdog Millionaire.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful young lady. She did an interview with AbsoluteNow.com where she talked about her beauty secrets. So if you want to look like Frida Pinto, here's what you have to accomplish.
Okay.
You need to drink lots of water.
Wow.
Eat vegetables and get 8 hours of sleep a night.
That's this is revolutionary.
Slow down.
Secret.
Slow down. I'm taking notes.
Kevin's trying to write this down.
So let me hold on. Just wait. Hold on just a moment.
Yeah.
So if every woman out there within the sound of my voice eats her vegetables, drinks a lot of water, and gets 8 hours sleep, she'll wake up looking like Frida Pinto. That's what she's telling me.
Right.
Listen, unless you really have a beauty secret, Hollywood actresses, shut the F up.
Thank you, Ralph.
Hell.
Thank you.
She forgot to throw in you have to hit the DNA lottery.
The next time someone says, what are your beauty secrets? Say, you know what? I don't have any secrets. Next question.
I'm really lucky.
Don't start telling me to drink water and drink and eat vegetables because I will kick you where it counts.
Yeah. There is a new way to get a facial.
I will punish your baby maker. That's all I'm going to tell you.
That's real talk right there, man.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kirstie Alley's 59 years old today. What are her beauty secrets? That's what I want to know.
Crisco.
Yeah.
And
Twinkies, right?
Yeah.
Twinkies. She's 59 years old. Rush Limbaugh. What are his beauty secrets? Oxycontin.
Bacon and chocolate.
Oxycontin and hearing aids. Male pattern baldness. He's 59. Oliver Platt is 50 years old today. Rob Zombie's 45. Zach De La Roca from Rage Against the Machine turns 40 years old. And Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls. We're just talking about Victoria Beckham. Her old bandmate, Melanie Chisholm, is 36. She's not fat. She's too skinny. She could use a sandwich.
Yeah. She actually battled an eating disorder. So.
Did she?
Yeah.
So looks like she lost.
Really glad I
so
said
So you're
that.
Making her feel better by really yelling fat
like
when
she
you hear
lost
her name?
That
of course,
battle.
That's what Mike does.
Yeah. Well, she is skin and sinew. She's 36 years old today. Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Check, check, 1-2, 1-2, check, check, 1-2.
We're
check,
fine.
1-2, check, hello.
We're
hey,
on
sounds
lighting.
Great.
We're fine. Already working. Everybody's working already. We've been on for a while.
Check, 1-2, check, hello.
Come on.
Hello, hello, check, 1-2.
Your mic is fine.
Hey, here we go.
Okay.
Check, 1-2, hey.
Okay.
We've been on for 4 hours.
I don't know what Lightning's problem is, but he's always got to double check the mic. Lightning is the guy who works very hard and does a phenomenal job on the flagship radio station of the Kevin and Bean Show in Los Angeles and really does a great job with the website. But I think, Kevin, since he's been promoted to that new position where he like oversees all things digital, yeah. I think it's starting to go to his head a little bit, don't you?
He is getting power hungry.
And what?
I think we have a problem. Yeah. I think we have a problem.
Is it true?
Yes.
Mr. Lightning.
Yeah.
Is it true that you took people off of the website because they wouldn't blog enough?
Okay, well, first,
true or not?
First,
yes or no?
Said something.
It's a yes or no.
I will
question.
Answer that yes or no. For,
yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I rest my case.
Yeah. So, all right. Thanks for coming. All right. So I was stolen from the building where we're at now, and I work out of the Death Star, right? Our corporate headquarters.
Right.
Okay.
And and it's like me and Alex Rauch, who we work together. We're like the Rebel Alliance over there, and we're doing everything we can to build the best possible website for you guys.
Right.
And we have Darth Vader looking over our shoulder. I wanted to be the boss. I'm not. We hired like two guys that are over me.
But you can tell that they're there because they're breathing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know he's looking over your shoulder.
Right. And
see,
so,
Mike, because it was a Star Wars joke.
I got it.
Okay.
So they came in and they said, hey, what's up with, Rick Savage and some of the other part-timers? They're not blogging enough.
or they're not blogging at all. And I said, look, I've reached out to these guys. I've stopped them in the hallways of the station. I've sent them numerous messages, phone calls to their house and say, please, guys, please blog.
Not really part of their job, though. I understand, I got to be honest.
No. And it's not. And you know what? They don't get paid for it. So it's not like I'm not upset at
you
them
can't
like
make
mad.
Them do it.
I cannot make them. So what happened is.
So you took them off the site?
No, check it out. No, they're not totally off the site. They're still in the jock lineup.
You did it?
No, listen to me. Okay. They're still in the jock lineup. You know that kind of like, it looks like the police line. They're still there. But under that section there, there's all the jocks, and it's automatic. Each of their pictures, right next to their picture, it's automatically populated by their most recent post. Okay. I have no control. It's automated, right? Well, when you don't post, it's your old one. So like a couple of our jocks hadn't posted in like months, and I said, please, just one. All it takes is one. Wouldn't do it.
Once every couple months.
No joke. So not even. And
sure,
I didn't want
too
to
tired to write a post.
I'm not in a position where I could, like, you know, when we first started this, I was writing your post, Kevin, you know, and just making fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So, right.
You came out gay for me?
Yes.
I appreciate that.
By the way, I got a lot of email about that. Yeah, I really thought
so
it was true.
So I
got some numbers for you.
My wife's friends, who we've known for 10 years, said, I didn't know. I really.
Yeah, my mother said to me, I thought Kevin had a family.
Because I wouldn't post stuff, so Lightning went on as me and said that it came out as gay. And it would cause quite a stir.
Yes. But Lightning, here's our thing, though. We're not living in the Soviet Union where politicians fall out of favor and you start digitally erasing them from all the photographs as if they don't exist in history anymore. And that's what it seems like. It seems like, hey, don't play by my rules. You don't get to play at all. I would take my football and go home.
Hey, let's be clear. These are not my rules. These are the dark side.
Right.
These are not my rules. I'm happy to leave them. I would have changed the mechanism by which those little automated things are posted, but I couldn't do that. All right. So.
Well, you should learn how to do that.
Well, I wish I could. We had to build a template that other stations will use later. So I reached out to these guys. I'm like, I like you. I'm in the studio. We rap about, you know.
You took them off the site.
And
it shows how much you like them.
We did, but they're in draft.
Wow.
They're in draft, and I can put them right back up.
So
you're holding them, but they're hostage now.
They're hostage.
So the way to get the desired results is to hold a gun to somebody. That's how to get it to be creative and contribute, right?
No, I didn't want that, but I had asked them for months, literally, from the start of when we launched the new site.
Oh, he has, too.
So I bet, but I did.
He came to me 500 times.
Kevin seldomly blogs, and when he does, I have it up within 45 minutes of him sending it to me, and we make it nice. And
I do. He still doesn't blog himself, by the way. He still sends it to Dave and he put it up.
That's not true, by the way. It's not true.
But Lisa's blogging now. And
I'm blogging
so
a
we got
I blog about me. Once a month.
Yeah.
A month.
So Lightning, a big issue in some spots.
That's for sure.
Listen, I really like those guys, and it is nothing personal, but I had no joke.
But it's your way or the
Vader.
Highway. That's what we're
it's
learning.
It's not my
here.
Way, guys. I'm telling you, and it blows ass at the Death Star.
Okay, so if that guy is Darth Vader, then who are you?
I'm the
are
Rebel
Darth
Alliance.
Maul?
No, I'm like
you're
Luke
not
Skywalker
Maul?
Over there, dude.
Oh.
No,
are
I'm
you
not
the
Darth
Emperor?
Maul. No, again, oh. I'm the good
He's
side
Princess
of the Force.
Leia.
I'm over there, but I get beaten down just the way that you guys get beaten up by Mr. Weatherby every once in a while,
right.
You know? Or the censors come down on you. It's like, no, we got to have good blog posts, and this have to be they're going in after I make changes. Like I'll call Nicole or someone who does like the night show, or whatever,
right.
and I'll say, hey, can I add a cool photo? Can I do this to beef this up? Or like, hey, I have an old video that will go. And she's
right,
like,
which is a great idea.
Yeah, she's like, rad, do it, go for it.
Yeah.
And so it's really collaborative, but. They'll come in afterwards and then change the title. Well, you know, in Tucson, this wouldn't make sense. So we're going to. And I'm like, you can't do that. I have the confidence of the DJs
I will
to
tell
make
you this.
Changes.
If that happens, no one's gonna do anything.
I know. And that's already happened. You know, it happened. Kat, right after you guys.
Yeah.
You know, we made a change and she was upset and didn't blog for a while.
Well, congratulations to you, though. I got to tell you, my latest blog was about the Detroit Red Wings and how they're terrorists. And I asked Lightning to get a picture and to Photoshop Osama bin Laden's face into one of the players of the Detroit Red Wings. And that picture is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you.
And
awesome.
I loved it.
You can follow blogs from almost everyone on the Kevin and Bean Show at kevinandbean.com, by the way. As long as we continue to march in lockstep, I guess you'll still be able to see our blogs.
Dude,
but the minute
like
we look
that.
To the Come side, on. Man, what's all the, of a sudden he pushes us out of the truck.
What's the time limit? Because it has been about 4 days since I've written something. Am I on the verge of being eliminated?
F you. I bleed the Kevin and Bean Show.
Am
right?
I so on the verge of being eliminated?
Answer the question.
Yes.
All right.
Hey, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 28 minutes after 9 o'clock.
And
don't forget the World Tour 2010. Sorry, Bean, thank you. Destination number one is Them Crooked Vultures, which I have seen, and they are great in New Zealand. All week long, you score the new CD, and you get on the standby boarding list. So
that'd be all right.
To the world-famous K-Rock, 928.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman along in just a couple of minutes with the show biz beat. First, though, we have to give big ups to, well, maybe I won't say the friend's name who said it to us because I don't want it to poorly reflect on him. But the guy is awesome. And I think if it doesn't work out with Barack Obama, I think we may have the guy who could win the White House in 2012. Am I right?
Well, there's every type of extreme person out there. And some of them are militant and some of them, you've seen the video of the crazy Barack Obama haters.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of
where they're like, oh, yeah, he's like Hitler and all that. Those kind of extremes. This guy is a black man, and white men and white women are the problem.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. Well, so far I'm with him, but what evidence is he putting forth?
He is a preacher, and he's preaching.
I know white women are no goddamn good. I know that much.
He's preaching the word, and this part that you're about to hear is he says it's not about religion. In this world, problems are not about religion. Power is not about religion. It has nothing to do with religion. It has to do with food sources. And whoever owns the food sources can enslave the rest of the world. That's his theory.
That's an interesting
theory. So here's a little bit about that.
You got Lake Malawi got more varieties of fish than any lake in the world.
He's got a map in front of him. He's pointing to Lake Malawi in Africa. And it's got more fish, blah, 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 blah.
This is a food source. So when go to talking about religion and that don't mean identify my food source.
Now, I personally like a preacher that curses that much. Like, to me, I would go to that church.
Right.
There's a lot of filthy language, and you don't normally get that from a preacher.
And that's what people's is doing every day. My gotta eat. My ain't eating no motherfucking Bibles.
You're not eating Bibles, you're eating food.
Good
That's
point.
What this is about.
Okay. True.
You have to secure your food source or God damn it, you a slave. Any motherfucker got to... And so by the white man controlling our food source like he do, he can make dance.
He can make the N-word dance.
Wow.
Is what he said.
Well,
because the white man controls the food source.
The guy's got a point, though. I mean, take it down to the smallest level, Kevin. If you're in a house and the other guy in the house has all the food, you have none, he wins. You'll do whatever he wants for food. The guy's on I think he's making a point here.
You're with him?
I'm with him so far, yeah.
All right.
Because he's going to get one motherfucker more, then he's going to get up. And so the motherfucker that get more, of course, he wants to keep his status. We right. must control our food source. I don't get what, there's no way we can beat this bitch. Without that, even if we go to war with this motherfucker, we have to go to guerrilla warfare. You got to know certain plants you can eat, certain plants you can't eat. You must know that. They got pamphlets for that. You got to study that.
They have pamphlets for that S.
Yeah, that's what that guy Into the Wild did. He read a book about what he could and could not eat, and you know how that turned out.
Yeah,
exactly. So what's our man suggesting? Don't go to the white man's McDonald's because that's them owning you. Instead, you should go out there and find your own food or start your own McDonald's, whatever it is, but be in control with your own people having your own food.
Find some berries.
I think
read
you're
a
supposed
pamphlet.
To forage in Griffith Park.
Yeah, okay. Find whatever's there.
Don't eat that. Eat this. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, now. I think
white bitches.
Yeah. Okay. Here it is. This is the part that's unbelievable. He says, and I'll say it because it's a little hard to understand. White bitches are the filthiest people on earth. Is how he starts this next segment.
He means women.
All white women.
Okay.
Not just women. White women.
Okay.
White bitches, the most filthiest bitch on the planet Earth. I got visuals. These is real visuals.
I've got visuals.
These is real visuals.
And by that, he means pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are them motherfuckers sleeping with any beast on the planet?
Of white women with bestiality, basically. White,
that's what he meant?
Yes. He has proof. He has visual proof that white women have sex with all animals.
Oh, why did he have? He had my vote right up until that point.
What? He has proof. How can you get?
He has visuals, Bean.
He has visuals. Okay. I mean, right.
So that's where the herpes.
Okay, so now he's going to explain that's where all of the sexually transmitted herpes comes from. Every sexually transmitted disease comes from the white woman having sex with animals.
Oh. The syphilis, all of that come from. And then when that big ass blister pop up on your mother face, then you crying because your life is over. You didn't win and got the package. You understand what I'm saying? So we don't give a f- about no f- like Tiger Woods. You understand what I'm saying? Technically, you know, he's an Asian because his mama is Asian.
Yeah, he doesn't care about Tiger Woods because he's Asian. He's not black.
Okay.
I don't think we have time to keep going, but I could go all day. This guy just preaches the word.
And he's a scientist, too.
He's a scientist.
He knows things no one else knows.
And so they put this in the cartoons. And so that...
All right, now he's talking about...
The cartoons?
Cartoons. Now he's talking about the Flintstones. He's talking about the Flintstones and how that is how the white man has kind of sold people into the idea that slavery is okay. And
what?
Pulling a woman by her hair like they did on the Flintstones. It's proof. They put it in the cartoons.
Okay.
And so they put this in the cartoons. And so that is teaching your baby the elements of white supremacy over your woman. She's just a vessel. You understand what I'm saying? This is what these Islamic motherfuckers are teaching. So, you know, they got their women with curtains on. And you can't even see her face. Some of them, I agree. Cover that bitch up. She's ugly.
Okay, so on a case-by-case basis, maybe they should be covered up.
So the burqa's fine if the woman's ugly.
So he's loving...
Is he in a church with...
Hard
parishioners?
It's hard. Okay. It's hard to say who's
there. In the
there.
Video, though, does it look like there's an audience?
Yes.
Or is he just ranting and raving in front of a camera?
It looks like there's an audience. Okay. But he is up there and he's got a map and he's showing everybody where everything is. And he's got all this information that people need to know.
Sir, you've heard of this guy?
Sure. I know him from the secret black people meetings.
Okay.
But we're not going to cover up our beautiful black woman for no goddamn body. You know, she ain't got to put on bitch. If you put your hands on her, we killing your ass. Matter of fact, your women supposed to be in the finest parts of Africa. No cracker should even get in that area. You should deal with crackers on the... Matter of fact, you take over to Europe.
Okay, now I don't know what he's talking about here.
I know he uses
the word crackers a lot.
Yeah.
And his black women, they're not going to put anything over. But he's lumping white and Christian and Muslim and everybody that's not black into the same group. And if a woman's ugly enough, you know, cover her up. That's what he's saying.
And push, we'll meet you over there. You don't come up in Africa. I'll ban crackers from Africa. Matter of fact, if I could kill them all, that would be the best solution.
Okay, so you got that.
Oh, wow.
You got the preacher that says if you could kill all white people, that would be the best solution.
Oh, come on. Why does it always have to be a racial thing with you blacks?
That's over. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:44.
And you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. We are, in fact, a well-oiled machine. It does sound like listening to this show sometimes that we must have been doing this for about 4 weeks. It's incredible that we're not getting any
better. We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say. But
you got to do more of a win, though. All right.
I like that one green. I like a little space on either side of that one. I want that in the clean, as they say.
You know what
Ralph
I mean?
Is here, and he is going to save this hour. That's my hope.
I'm more worried about saving Kevin. Something's wrong, and he won't tell us what it is, but he's going down
fast. What are you talking about?
You're going downhill, man.
I'm not sleeping. Well, when I don't sleep, I can't pull it off.
But it's been like 2 weeks now. You got to sleep
like
sometime.
2 years. Are you kidding me?
How dare you?
If you don't get some sleep, you're going to die.
I know.
You got to get some propofol, Kevin.
I do. Dr. Murray's not exactly returning my calls.
Tylenol PM by the fistful. Find some way.
I don't know, man.
Because you're going down.
I went down
to Chinatown.
I average like a couple hours a night.
That's not enough.
It is for me.
No, sir.
But I hide it. I mean, I don't think people.
No, sir. Once again,
I don't think.
Kevin, I'm sure you've tried everything.
I have.
But have you gone and like played 2 hours of basketball every night at 7 or something like that, just to really be worn out by the time you roll into bed?
I exercise a lot, but you're not supposed to right before you go to bed.
No, because it jacks you up.
Yeah, but I think propofol's the way to go.
That may be the answer. Yeah.
I'm saying maybe you need to take things in hand before you go to sleep.
Okay. He's tried that. We asked him that yesterday.
First thing I asked yesterday.
Get your share of yourself before you nod off.
Yeah.
It's always my solution.
I can't.
Of course,
I can't.
That's my answer to everything.
Yeah, right. Much. Of course. Whatever it is.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about show business, shall we? Paris Hilton has announced she's all grown up.
That's great news.
She tells Life and Style Weekly magazine that now that she's in a serious relationship with her boyfriend, Doug Reinhardt, she doesn't hit the bar scene nearly as much as she used to. And, wait for it, she does her own grocery shopping these days.
What?
Wow.
She shops for...
Wow.
She shops for groceries herself?
She is something. She really should be proud. Or embarrassed.
Stop whoring around, Paris. Stop being a whore.
Congratulations to Zoe Saldana, star of Avatar. She has just been tapped as the latest brand ambassador for Avon. She is the face of Avon. I wonder if they'll be releasing some special blue makeup in her honor. Housewives everywhere slathering on the pointed ears and blue makeup. She is she's going to be the spokesperson for Avon. People still buying the Avon products? Or do women still go around selling Avon door-to-door like they used to?
I don't think it's door-to-door anymore, but they do still have a lot of very successful makeup lines.
All right. Thank you for the makeup makeup update.
List three. Well, list three of them.
I have to know someone who worked there, so that's the only reason I'm familiar with it.
How do they distribute their products if not door-by-door, then? What do they
stores
do?
And through the mail, yeah. Mailer.
Stores.
All right. What are stores? Not familiar with that.
Familiar with that. Simon Cowell's leaving American Idol after this season, so start tuning in tonight. It debuts the new season, but after this one, it's all over. He's going to be going on to produce and star in his own show called The X Factor, which has been a smash hit in England and several other countries for some time now, and he's bringing it finally to the U.S.
What's the difference between that and American Idol? Just the age?
Age, and you are allowed to be a group and or a solo artist.
Oh, okay.
So it's almost anything musical, any age and any style music and any either group or duo or solo.
But other than that, judges, call and vote, the whole thing?
And the judges actually act as mentors as well. They'll give you suggestions for clothing and choreography and that kind of stuff. So, you know, they bring in the special guests weekly to help out. The judges help the X Factor contestants as well as judge them.
Do they help the contestants as much as Paula Abdul helped that one contestant?
No. Okay. They don't help them out of their pants, okay. If that's what you mean.
I think they do. Leona Lewis was the big discovery out of the British X Factor, right? She broke out of that show.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
Absolutely.
Tell us more about Avon, B.
Mel Gibson is shooting a new movie called How I Spent My Summer in Mexico, and he's got some Mexicans upset. He is shooting at a Mexican prison. So, to make room for Mel and the film crew, they had to move the inmates out of the prison to another prison. 300 of them.
Wait out front?
300 of them had to be moved to another prison.
You got a lot of prisons with a lot of space, apparently.
Now, here's the thing. The prisoners in Mexico only get food and clothing. The only reliable source of food and clothing in those prisons is from their families. So they've moved these inmates
well away from their families.
Like hundreds of miles away from where their families live.
Well, no wonder they're mad.
And so the prisoners upset they will not be getting any food
while
Mel is shooting because the families may not have reliable sources of transportation to get to their loved ones to feed and clothe them.
Hello, Mexicans. Why don't you amigos go back to Canada, where you belong?
That's right. So protesters are protesting Mel's shoot while he is filming because apparently they are unhappy with how the Mexican inmates are being treated. They should have thought that before they were Mexican prisoners. That's what I say. No, first of all,
there is that.
What are you doing being Mexican? And second of all, what are you doing being a prisoner?
Well, there's nothing wrong with being Mexican, but trying to stay out of jail.
You made your choice. Once you choose to be Mexican, you're on your own. That's
you can't make that choice.
Well,
but you can choose to not go to jail.
Or Mexico could choose to feed and clothe their prisoners, too. Well, maybe they could do that for them.
That could be a choice as well.
That seems like a tall order.
I know.
Silly Mexican.
I'm still looking forward to that Mel Gibson Edge of Darkness movie.
Looks good.
I love those revenge dramas. This looks like a good one. And speaking of looking forward to, I was looking forward to Spider-Man 4.
Yeah.
But not anymore. Sony has announced there will be no Spider-Man 4, at least not with Sam Raimi at the helm and Tobey Maguire playing the web spinner. The brand new Spider-Man film, which now has been pushed to 2012 in terms of release date, will be a brand new rebooting of the franchise. A new Spider-Man actor, a new director, a new screenwriter. They are going to take Spider-Man back to his high school origins and start the thing all over again.
How about some teenagers?
Yeah, that's what you're going to get, teenagers.
It was high school.
How long until we start talking about who's going to be Spidey in the new Spider-Man? Taylor Lautner's name being bandied about anytime soon?
Don't know, probably.
You know, it will be.
Seth Rogen would be my choice.
Yeah, he'd be the best. Big, burly Spider-Man.
Vince Vaughn.
I think they're trying to go younger. I'm not sure. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Oh, before I do, it's Tuesday. I want to talk about the new CDs and DVDs in stores. We do this every Tuesday when we get the opportunity. Vampire Weekend's got a new CD called Contra out today.
Yes, they do.
You should pick it up.
Yes, you should.
We heard them earlier today, and they sounded delicious.
Yes, we did.
Yes,
really
good, right?
Yes.
And a
good performance.
Believe it or not, Ringo Starr of the Beatles has a new CD out.
Called That's going to blow.
Called Why Not?
Not as
that
good.
That can't be good. To which I respond, why? new DVDs, Hurt Locker, available finally on DVD today. Moon, which is a science fiction film, which I didn't get a chance to see, but I've heard rave reviews about with Sam Rockwell, is available today as well.
Can't wait.
I Can Do Bad All By Myself, the Tyler Perry movie, is available on DVD. And Big Fan by Patton Oswalt, starring our buddy Patton, is finally available on DVD. You can check that out. The Simpsons, the complete 20th season, available on DVD today, as is ER's 12th season. Boy, I bet you NBC wishes they had some ER right about now.
Yeah. Try to get the gang back together.
Hey, can you guys get back together and start working?
Hey, remember, we still have the hospital set if you guys want to come over.
Come on, Anthony Edwards, what are you doing?
We need some 10 p.m.
Today's celebrity birthday is Kirstie Alley's 59 years old today. Rush Limbaugh also celebrates his 59th birthday, my friends. Oliver Platt is 50. Rob Zombie celebrates his 45th birthday. Zach De La Roca. Rage Against the Machine fame is 40 years old. And Sporty Spice of the Spice Girls celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. It's the Kevin and Bean Show tomorrow morning. We have an all-new program for you. We have Daniel Tosh in the studio. One of our favorite guys. If you haven't seen Tosh,
funny dude.
If you haven't seen Tosh.0,
so funny.
You have to watch it, or you're no friend of ours. Jay Moore, funny man Jay Moore in tomorrow's show as well. And the American Idol auditions begin tonight.
That's right.
And this is the only part of American Idol that I love, because these people are deluded like you've never seen.
Where does they raise the bar this year?
Really?
That's what I've heard about the baddies.
More deluded than ever?
Yeah.
I'm in. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
But don't go away. Kat Corbett is up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the latest from Phoenix. We also have, speaking of the birthday boy, Zach, how about some Rage Against the Machine for you? Incubus, Finger 11, 30 Seconds to Mars, and more. It's all next on K-Rock.